Welcome to the Raptors Championship Podcast Hangout. I think that's the name we ultimately settled on. Apologies for this slow start. I think we're a little bit on the parade time right now. Joining me to start, Blake.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Good, man.
The Raptors won the championship.
They sure did.
Can we celebrate now? Or?
Yeah, I think once you put on a cowboy hat and Alex Wong stayed out past 11 p.m., the celebration was officially on.
We could never put that out there. But
I'm demanding that be put out there. That was the one condition of me coming on.
I would legitimately pay people to keep that on the wraps. Okay, before we actually get to the actual slander with the slander artists that we were trying to get on the line here, let's talk about Kawhi.
What about him?
I think he's just having a great time. What do you think he did at Niagara Falls yesterday? Because there's multiple things to do.
Yeah, I think he probably took his daughter on the Maid of the Mist.
Okay, I hope so.
That's really it, right? If you go there with a kid, there's like that giant candy shop. Maybe they hit up the kid. He did say he was going to eat desserts all summer long.
He really said he's going to have alcohol and desserts.
Drinking alcohol and eating desserts.
This is going to be the biggest championship hangover ever.
Yeah.
Based on what they've done.
Norman Powell and Pascal Siakam have basically promised to dial it. Like, it's...
I'm just going to say, training camp next year, the preseason games are going to be a little slower. We're not going to be 4-1 this year.
What's crazy is that we're like a week and a half away from Summer League, where normally the non-Summer League players on the team show up just to party anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So I remember last year when Fred got the bag, they like flew a couple of them were like out in Vegas for exactly that purpose. So yeah. I think the Larry O'Beal making an appearance at Summer League.
Yeah. But you know, this is what happens when you win the championship. You don't really care about Summer League anymore. Although that's not true. You and I will probably still be covering Summer League.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Let's get to that slander right now. Okay. Let's get to that slander. So we're gonna bring on the slander artists, Asad and Sahal. Y'all here?
Yes, we are.
What up, Willie? What it do, baby?
Yo, we're champions, man. We're champions.
It's crazy.
What is this we? Because Asad's the only one of us that got any buckets during the playoff run.
Hey, Blake, watch your mouth.
I got as many points as Jeremy in the finals. You know, it is what it is. Now, shout out Jeremy.
And fewer turnovers.
Did he have a turnover in that minute?
I think so.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right, Blake
wasn't bad during that Bucks series, man. I don't know why we're... Right, and he was pretty good off the bench in the Bucks series, so it wasn't bad.
Wow.
Yo, but shout out to that championship hangover, though. Yo, we started what 20-4 this season. We're gonna start off next season 4-20.
Honestly, at this rate, I mean, seriously, I actually don't think some of these guys are gonna be alive for next season at this rate. But yo,
it'd be fine, man. October's a long time away.
I was just saying, October is a long time to party from now until then. But Let's start with the slander, the Celtics. I don't know if you guys saw yesterday. The Celtics are not going to have Kyrie Irving next year. I think that's already been known. He's probably going to sign with the Nets. And they're probably also not even going to have Al Horford, who opted out, and it seemed like he was going to get his deal restructured, and now seems like he's going to go somewhere else for a four-year deal. First off, shout out Al Horford getting the bag every single time. That's what brought him to Boston, so they can't really be mad that he's leaving, but... Seriously, Celtics, are they going to be in the lottery next year?
Oh, man. The Boston Celtics, man, the way I'm looking at it, they still have a pretty good young core. I mean, Jason Tatum, Jalen are still there. Jason Tatum's been 19 for about 5 years now, so that's always a good thing. But to be honest, the organizational, I guess, landscape is looking a lot like King's Landing, man. The Boston Celtics are done. Danny Ainge is Cersei Lannister. And the Boston Celtics are done. They're finished. And watching this as a Raptors fan, honestly, this is the best. It was the best week of being a Raptors fan, writer, coverage, whatever you want to call it. Blake Murphy has his own, you know, term for it. But this was the best week before the Boston news. And now it's got to the point where I don't even know what to say. This is amazing watching the Boston Celtics crumble.
Hey, we can't hit on the Boston Celtics too much, man. They've got a great young core, man. They've got future Kawhi. They've got future Kobe.
Yep.
They got Terry Rozier, dog. That's future Chris Paul, future Kyrie Irving, whoever you want. They don't need Kyrie. They got future Kyrie. They're good. Okay. They're good. Yeah. They got Aaron Baines. That's like the best center in the East, bro. You don't know what you're talking about. This is a 10-year window, my guy. 10 years.
And don't forget
Brad Stevens. I would take Brad Stevens over every single player in the league right now. So they didn't even miss out. Like, would you rather have Anthony Davis or Brad Stevens? Let's be honest.
Stevens. Don't even ask that question.
Brad Stevens has like a whole 2 playoff series wins more than Anthony Davis. So, like, what are we really doing here, guys? Boston's going to be fine.
Yeah, I can't wait for I can't wait. Honestly, I really, really can't wait for Brad Stevens to drop 30, 10, and 10 next year. Like, just do the Russell Westbrook and just carry this team to a 2 seed and lose in the first round again. No, I'm kidding. No, but seriously, though, the Celtics are it's actually hilarious because, like, I remember coming into last season, I was thinking, like, it would be between the Raptors and the Celtics for top of the East. Yeah. And literally the Celtics, I'm not even sure they'll make the playoffs next year. This is amazing. This is an amazing run.
They're going to make the playoffs next year. The interesting thing to me is, like, do they poach Brogdon now? Like, Brogdon's a guy that fits. So if they're going to try to recover from losing Kyrie and Horford, and Kyrie and Horford say they both end up in Brooklyn, and this whole kind of power balance shifts, if they pluck from another one of the good East teams to make up for that, it's not a bad scenario for the Raptors where like the 2-6 teams in the East are taking from each other if that's how it works out.
Yeah, that's a good scenario to have because, I mean, right now I'm thinking about it. There's no natural rival for the Raptors anymore. None. The Wizards are like just in shambles. By the way, yo, the Wizards not getting Masai after waiting so long to get Masai is amazing. They have to put out a statement to say we never actually wanted Masai in the first place. Like, no, yeah, you did.
They deleted the DM after they got left on red.
That's great.
Also, there are still Wizards fans who are like, yeah, but the Wizards swept the Raptors. That was like Will was in elementary school when that happened.
Yeah. I might have cried a little bit when that happened. But you know what? It's over now.
Yeah.
It's over. DeLon Wright dunked on you. That's the end of that.
Big. His head was just as large, so don't forget that part.
All right.
The Bucks, I guess, are the ones that like. I mean, the Sixers have a decent case where that series went to 7, and they now think they were like the second or third best team. But I think depending on how the offseason goes, like maybe the Sixers or Bucks are the best option. Like if you're looking like, oh, who would they play on a Christmas Day game or something like that? Like maybe Giannis, if Kawhi stays, that Giannis Kawhi battle becomes the kind of rivalry.
I mean, it's a rivalry, but then eventually he's going to be on the team. So, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm just saying. I mean, obviously, Kawhi's got to resign in Toronto. Once that happens, everything will be blessed. But like, after that happens, like, there will be who is even contending? Like, even the Sixers. Like, are they going to keep Jimmy Butler? They're going to keep Jimmy Butler. They're going to keep Tobias Harris. They're going to keep JJ Redick. They're going to be ridiculously over the tax. And like
Amir Johnson's still going to be like their seventh man.
He's still going to be checking his phone like we are right now. And, plus the Raptors already beat the Sixers. So I don't know. I'm just thinking like there are no natural rivals anymore. Like we got to look west. Like we got to look at like, you know, who antagonized us out of the west? Like Houston? Houston?
I guess like the games were fun.
Daryl Morey.
Portland has been like Raptors West. They kind of took up being Raptors West after the Clippers were Raptors West.
Yeah, they're the Lowry and DeMar Raptors that stayed the Lowry and DeMar Raptors.
I do think you're overstating, though, the gap between the Raptors and the rest of the East. Like, those Philly and Milwaukee series were close, man.
I'm just saying.
And the Raptors are old.
First off, Milwaukee is a small city. It's a very small city. I don't know if they can sustain paying the luxury tax long term.
They don't have to pay long term, just until 2021.
Well.
Yeah, and then they lose their best players. All good.
Exactly.
But they'll still have Chris Middleton paying $30 million a year, so they'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I mean, at the same time, I just really do see some of these teams starting to tail off a little bit just because of free agency. Because like Philadelphia is going to lose a couple players, Milwaukee's going to lose a couple players, and you know,
hey guys, don't forget about the New York Knicks. I mean, they're going to get Anthony Davis. Oh wait, they're going to get Kyrie. Oh wait, no, they're going to get Chris Middleton. No, there's not enough Somali restaurants there. I don't know what's going to go on with the New York Knicks, to be honest, man.
Hey, do not hate on starting small forward Harrison Barnes. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Harrison Barnes is somehow going to get another max contract out of this.
Harrison Barnes and Al Horford are going to run the East, bro. Just trust it.
I mean, it'll probably be better than the Celtics, let's be real.
I do find the funniest rumor I think I saw today was that both Horford and Kyrie are reportedly thinking about going to the Nets, which is, like, the most slanderous thing that can happen to your team, right? It's like, yo, our two best players still want to play with each other. They just don't want to play on our team together anymore.
On top of which, like the Celtics had all this opportunity because of that Nets trade from back in the day, and then they didn't take advantage of it, and then their two best players go to the Nets. It would be it's too much, man. Billy King back from the dead.
That's just too much.
This is perfect. I mean, like, yo, let's be real. Like, so that Celtics trade, Celtics Nets trade, that thing is over.
Yeah.
Right? For the most part, it's over. There's
still one swap left?
There might be like a residual something. Like they might have flipped into a future pick or something. But like that trade is essentially over. They got Tatum. They got Brown. And like I guess they got the Kyrie year, which they're obviously very unhappy with. I mean, you know, that's unfortunate. To make one of the most lopsided trades of all time and then not turn that into Kawhi or Paul George or Jimmy Butler, but into Terry Rozier
turned
making
it into Malcolm Brogdon.
You know, Malcolm Brogdon's been great for them averaging 13-5.
I will say I'm very much here for big Yabu and Shemi minutes. Let's see the main red claws on the NBA stage.
They're gonna have Anthony Bennett back on the roster.
Oh man.
No, this is
Yabu great. Rivals Kyle Lowry in thickness. I just wanted to just plug that in there.
That is true.
But
so how wild is it going to be when Gordon Hayward also doesn't start next year?
Yo. Gordon Hayward actually turning into Nick Batum has been – I mean, it's very unfortunate that he had an injury, but, I mean, it's just – at this point, he's like Nick Batum. He's a big contract. He's not producing much, which at this
shout
point –
shout out for Chandler Parsons, bro.
That is an amazing nickname. But I was going to say, at this point, we got to point out that we got to all erase our Nick Batum instead of DeMar DeRozan tweets. That we gotta, I got to go back and power scrub my timeline from 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Injuries, man.
Can we talk about the shirt that Blake's wearing right now? Blake, can you can we get a little close-up?
Show that shirt, baby.
It's Kawhi against Steph Curry in like a Street Fighter Mortal Kombat background. It's from Haley El Cesar, who's a friend of mine. Yeah, Kawhi's got the little Thanos glove on. It's a good shirt. It's I was feeling summery. I'm not taking a break, but I'm gonna look like I'm in summer mode.
I was gonna say, remember in the summertime when the Warriors got DeMarcus Cousins, and then they were making those Thanos glove like references? It was like, oh, DeMarcus is the last Power Stone or whatever, and then and then that didn't happen. I mean, again, injuries are very unfortunate. It's a part of the game. It's very unfortunate, but you know, now like. Steph Curry's gonna get boxed in one for like the rest of the season. Like that's Nick Nurse, really. I mean, I credit Nick Nurse, man. Shout out Nick Nurse.
Yeah, he had a really good playoffs, man.
Great playoffs.
Yeah, I said this on the championship podcast. I think it was honestly one of the all-time coaching performances because we've seen innovation like we probably haven't seen from some coaches in the finals before. I'm still shocked. Like I still wake up and think this guy really did a box in one. In the NBA Finals. Like, I can't believe that. I still can't believe that.
Yo, Blake, what were the final numbers on that boxing one?
I think they scored on 2 of 21 possessions against the zone in that series.
Jeez.
That might include some other zone possessions. Like, they did triangle on 2 for a little bit, too. But, yeah, I think they scored on 2 of 21 possessions.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like... That's supposed to be a look you can throw out there for like 2 possessions out of a timeout. And then once a team realizes what you're doing, they can just beat it. But they didn't have enough passing or shooting on the floor. And, you know.
They turned Steph Curry into Fred from the Sixers series.
Yeah.
With one middle school strategy. It's just, you know, it's great coaching by Nick Nurse. There's a lot of retraction that has to go on because I think a lot of criticism went to Nick Nurse. Because, like, I was thinking at one point, like, man, what if the Raptors got Bud? And then, you know, Nick swept Bud. So, you know, Bud deserves slander, too. He really got swept.
Yeah, there wasn't really any point where I was like, well, Nick Nurse is doing a bad job. The only thing that bothered me was how long it took to tether Gasol to Embiid in the Sixers series. There was a little bit, too, of, like, playing the 3 bench guys together in that series when Philly staggered their starters all the time. That frustrated me a little bit. But there wasn't anything where it was like... There's this obvious adjustment sitting there that Nick Nurse is refusing to do. Like, once the Bucks series got tough, he put Kawhi on Giannis, which they didn't want to do until they had to, and they did it. They eventually matched Gasol up with Embiid. They had the Curry strategy. There was never a point where I was like, Nurse is doing a bad job. It's just so much of this year was there's load management, and there's injuries, and there's the trade, and I don't know if any of this stuff is how Nick Nurse actually is, or if he's just experimenting, or if no one's ever in the lineup. I didn't have a good feel for if Nick Nurse was a good coach, or had just, like, handled the circumstances that were thrown at him, or what. But he had a really good playoffs, man. I'm on board with Nick Nurse now.
Yeah, there you go. And now he's going to coach Team Canada. Well, we're going to let the slander move aside for a second. Let's talk serious basketball. Very, very serious basketball. What do you think Nick Nurse is going to do to Andrew Wiggins?
If Andrew Wiggins plays, man, I don't know. The Wolves were like trying to walk that back yesterday. The news that Wiggins is actually going to play.
Why doesn't Wiggins play for Team Canada?
I don't know, man. There's all sorts of rumors about why and why not. And with these things, it always comes down to, like, you got to look at, like, a player's camp and the team he's playing for and stuff like that. Like, teams technically aren't supposed to be able to tell their players no, but if, you know, if you sit down with your team and they're like, hey, we really want you doing this, this, and that, I don't know, man. I think it would be a good opportunity for him, though. I think you go there, you look at the depth that Canada's built and, you know, across different positions and different skill sets. The one thing that the Canadian roster on paper is still lacking is a guy who can go out and get a bucket. So you look at him or Jamal Murray as guys who could have the ball in their hands and keep possessions, could be the top usage guy on what should be a really good team. I think that'd be a good experience for those guys. And Wiggins, with the shorter FIBA line and the number of passers,
I mean, he loves taking 20 footers anyway.
Exactly.
That's a three at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it'd be a good situation for Wiggins. I think it'd be a good situation for Jamal Murray, too.
Okay.
But who knows with these things, man.
But, yo, the point about Nick Nurse, I think it's really good on Nick to actually take on this job in the Canada national team. Like, I just feel like, you know, Nick's almost in that phase of his career where it's like, I finally made it big, but he still has that hustler mindset.
Yeah.
So he's just like, yo, if I can coach Team Canada, of course I'll do it. I was just coaching the Manchester Giants. But then, like, but he's a big deal.
And the British national team.
Yeah.
I do think it's really good, too. And it's part of what we're going to see more of in the next little bit, I think, is a closer relationship between MLSE and Canada basketball, too.
Yeah.
And obviously there are some areas of potential conflict of interest where MLSE can't be too involved.
Sure.
And vice versa. But I do think there's a greater recognition lately that the health of the Raptors plays into the health of Canada basketball, and the health of Canada basketball will only continue to grow the game, which helps the Raptors. So you're seeing things like, you know, I know people roll their eyes at the Drake stuff, but that expanded Drake partnership the other year with the Welcome Toronto stuff included big donations to Canada basketball and refurbishing of courts around the city. There are rumblings that OVO wants to get even more involved with Canada basketball financially, and you know, it seems to be a little bit of a push-pull of how much control they might have or how much input they might have. Mm-hmm. But financially, that's a potential huge sponsor that Canada basketball has lacked for a long time, and that's made possible because of the MLSE relationship. So I think MLSE and Canada basketball realize now that what's good for one is good for the other, and Nick Nurse being an extension of that relationship it's going to benefit him as he improves as a coach and gets to know different players and be put in even more situations, but it's going to benefit Canada basketball as well. And I don't think having an NBA head coach hurts when it comes to, you know, as a team deciding to send their guy out to something like a 6-week camp plus World Cup.
Yeah. It'll be a chance to work with a real coach.
Yeah. And someone who like the load management jokes aside, like someone who has his own NBA players is going to be aware of things like, well, you don't want to wear these guys down over 6 weeks. Like, maybe take it easier on your Wiggins or your Murrays, guys who had, you know, deeper runs and have NBA seasons ahead of them.
Listen, I just want to see Nick Nurse hoist more championships.
Yeah.
Because he can sign more signs, you know. Nick had a great parade and a great season. Credit Nick Nurse, man.
Yeah.
Credit Nick Nurse. All right, Blake, we're going to let you go. Thank you for coming through.
Thanks for having me, man.
Raptors are champions.
I can't wait to go eat everything off of Alex's rider.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did they fix a plate for you? Because you know,
not yet.
We can arrange. Well, Blake, thank you so much for coming through. And
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We'll try to bring our next guest.
All right.
So, first segment is over. The Raptors are still champions, so this is good. I'm just going to keep saying Raptors are champions because that's honestly all I care about at this point. But so we're going to have Vivek coming on right after this, and then we're going to call up Zarar, if people don't know who Zarar is in terms of Raptors media, I think that's partially because of sort of how humble he's been about the whole thing. But honestly, Zarar is a huge, huge part of building Raptors Media into what it is because of his editorialship at Raptors Republic. And you know, we have Vivek right here, who's literally another fellow Raptors Republic alumni, man. So what's good?
We're out here, man.
We're out here. The Raptors are champions. Let's do this.
I'm really trying to
trying not to mess anything up.
No, that's okay. You can hear?
Yeah, I can hear, I think. Yeah.
All right. Okay, sweet. So what's good?
The Raptors are champions, man.
Yo, the Raptors are champions. That's the whole podcast. It's just me saying the Raptors champions.
I don't think I've ever worn shorts during a Raptors run. And here I am.
That's a fact.
Here all of us are. Multiple people in shorts, man.
That's a fact. That's right. Expose Alex. I expose himself right now, actually. So, listen. I know you agree with this.
Yeah.
One of the people that I was happiest about in terms of the Raptors winning is Zarrar, because this man has been like a day one.
Yeah.
Day one. And we'll talk to him in just a second. He's on the line. But I'm just thrilled because, like, you know, he did a lot for both of our careers, and I'm really happy that, you know, seriously, no one was really checking on the Raptors in like 2002,
yep,
like 2003, but he started a blog back then and it's grown to what it is now. So,
I mean, exactly. He gave us that outlet, that opportunity to express ourselves and connect with a fan base, you know, with the Raptors fan base that at the time was growing, that didn't have a lot of winning basketball to watch. And I think we found a way to keep it entertaining for them, and outside of, you know, the Young Guns and whatnot.
You know, the Young Guns were entertaining for me personally. Off the court.
Yeah.
Not on the court.
Yeah.
On the court, they were not fun.
But, yeah, man, shouts to Zarrar.
All right, so joining us online, Zarrar Siddiqui. I guess, I don't even know, what's his title now? Senior Emeritus at Raps Republic. We'll go with that.
Mr. Everything.
No, for real, Mr. Everything.
I'm the tech guy. I'm the tech guy.
You're not the tech guy, Zarrar. Come on, man.
What's going on, man? Guys?
Nothing, man. I just, since the title, you know, I mean, I'm just a better human being. I think I have experienced what heaven must feel like. I think, you know, no matter what religion you believe in, you know, whatever you believe, whatever the hell your beliefs are, I mean, if you think there's a heaven that exists, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's amazing. But some part of that heaven must be like the way we all feel like these days, right?
Yes.
Like that moment you had when the Raptors actually won. And like, by the way, the NBA screwed us up with the ending of Game 6. Like, I didn't get that moment of like you know, like just jumping up and joy and like high fiving, like jumping out the window.
It was tell us about the moment. Tell us about the moment, though. You know, that final 0.9 seconds, and then how you celebrated.
I was with Nick and Barry. So, okay. You know, I think you've been to RR parties, you know what goes on there. So, imagine that scene, except like times 10, the final whistle sounded, and I just, like, my first, like, we jumped up and down, we hugged and all that, and all what happened. But then I just like sat down on the couch, and it was surreal. It was a moment where I was like, I think mission accomplished. Like, I wanted to put that George Bush banner in the room, like, mission accomplished, right? Let's shut the site down. We're done. There's nothing more to be left. Like, we're okay. We're done, right? And then the interview started, and I'm just like staring at it. I'm looking at how happy like Lowry is. And I think of all the players in this entire run, he's the guy that I feel like most happy for, because like he's had that checkered history in Houston and Memphis where he was deemed not a team player or somebody who can't win. And to see him persevere with Toronto and adapt his game, it's just such a big moment for him that, like, people say, like, you know, I feel happy for you, man. Like, you say it all the time. Like, I feel happy for that guy. But in in reality, you may fucking hate the guy. I don't know if I can swear on this podcast.
No,
but in Lowry's case, when I say I was happy for him, I was, like, genuinely happy for him. Like, his joy, like, transcended into my joy. And that's a rare, rare, rare thing. And about Lowry, there's one more thing, man. Like, did you notice that how over the course of the season, maybe last season, it became irrelevant how many points he scored? Like, people stopped judging him based on his point.
Mm-hmm.
And he became this, like, this connective tissue for the Raptors, this glue guy, where he was like the spark of the engine. He's not the engine of the Raptors, but I feel he's the spark of the engine, where if he's, like, that game 6 is a perfect example where if he doesn't spark that first quarter, we may lose in a blowout. But he set that tone in that game 6 that basically gave everybody confidence to do what they had to do. And that guy, man, Jesus Christ, man. Like, it's just unfortunate that he shares a number with Andrea Bargnani.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He still does wear number 7.
And every time I see a number 7 jersey on the street, man, I just got to double take. Like, that's not Bargnani, is it? No, it's not. It's not. Except that guy in game, what is it, 5 in Golden State or 6, where he he actually had a number 7 Bargnani jersey before this summer.
And he sat courtside, which is so you know he was very rich, but but I mean honestly, there's a lot of people to be happy about. I think that's one of the most unique parts of this Raptors championship run is like everybody in the team is likable. There's no guy that you look at and say, you know, he did this and this and this and this is what he stands for or whatever. And you know, he had this sort of easy path to the career. Like everybody sort of, as Draymond called it, like got out of the mud. Like every single player on that roster got it out of the mud. And they all took it on the chin. They all took criticism. And to see all these guys validated as champions, it's just so rewarding. It doesn't even matter if they're the Raptors. I mean, it obviously matters as the Raptors. You know, the Raptors won a championship. But like, even if it was like, I don't know, some other team. Like, this is the Milwaukee Bucks with this exact same situation. I'd be thrilled for that team just because of how all the storylines went with it. And, you know, I just hope all these guys, you know, really soak it in and celebrate. I mean, look at Marcus Gasol. That's a guy who... what, played 11, 12 years, you know, made it to the playoffs, was a winning player, but never really had the top-tier kind of talent to really, truly make a finals run. And for him to finally win and to see how much sort of outpouring of emotion that came out from the championship parade in terms of how drunk he was and stuff, like, I'm really happy, you know. Go celebrate, because these guys deserve it more than anyone else.
And one thing maybe isn't getting talked about as much is the fact that these guys were able to set aside their egos in a matter of 27 games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They all came together for this championship run. And you look at Kawhi and Danny coming over right before the season starts. You look at Marc Gasol coming over. You know, a lot of teams would have looked at that and said, you know, there's potential for chemistry issues here. But they all came together for the team. And that comes down to Masai. And Zarar, we've got a picture of you with Masai right now. So tell us about your thoughts of Masai and what he's done for this franchise.
Well, man, I think so often does a rent-a-player trade actually work, right? I mean, it's so rare to see people have like a, you know, January trade and that translates into a championship. And even if Kawhi leaves and you consider that a rent-a-player move, it's rare to see moves of that magnitude actually pay off. Like on paper, they always like, hey, you know, we make a, you know, you get a big name guy at the deadline and you fizzle out in the first round. So look at Philadelphia this year with the trade they made, didn't work out. And it's just that rarity of like the character and talent balance that Masai Ujiri has executed and has been. You know, just for not just this year, just overall the way he structured the team in terms of personality and talent I don't know how much of it is just sheer luck, how much of it is like, you know, insight and foresight and planning. Whatever he's done, like he's done just a marvelous job of it, man. And Gasol's another guy, man, that was like just when that trade was made, like one of the comments was like the Raptors just won the 2015 trade deadline, right? Mm. Nobody actually expected. People were pissed off that JV wasn't here, right? And Masai had the foresight to see, listen, JV's great, but he's not what we need for this team. And he saw beyond the superficial aspect of JV scoring and some of the things he did, and goes, you know, we need somebody who's a little less on the scoring punch side, but more on the defensive side. And he made that move. And even at the time, if you looked at the grade that people gave out for that deal, like it was like, you know, Memphis really got the more talent here. But Masai's play is not long term; it was short term, and he executed it brilliantly. And it's not just he also like did these small moves. Like I know Jeremy Lin didn't have a lot to say in the postseason, and Jody Meeks guys like didn't contribute much. But those moves also didn't disrupt the chemistry the team had. And yeah, sometimes it's the moves you don't make. That also play into the winning that you do. So credit to him all around, man. And yeah, I mean, what's there to say about the guy, man? I mean, I think he's answered every call that's come to him.
And
there was an article by the Toronto Sun, which talked about the process of the Kawhi trade. I'm going off on a little tangent here, and I read that and I was like, ooh, I'm going to read some like insider info in this article and they'll tell me how the Kawhi trade was made behind the scenes. And it gave me nothing. Like it was just, they were talking to like Bobby Webster, I think. And that entire article was just pure trash, man. The headline was like, you know, behind the scenes in the Masai trade, the Kawhi trade. And I'm like, oh shit, here we go. And then you read it and you're like, dude, I learned nothing. I actually got dumber from this article.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to your point about, you know, Masai bringing back pieces where everyone mattered, I think there were two stories that came out of this postseason that were huge. You know, Danny Green talked about after that game 6 how Jeremy Lin was one of the guys right after his turnover that gave the Warriors a chance to win. Lin was one of the guys to sort of keep him up, keep him focused on the game, keep him positive when he was really, really down on himself. And then another story that came out was about Jordan Lloyd and how in preparation for the Warriors, the Raptors actually had Jordan Lloyd study Steph Curry and his movements off the ball and running off screens and everything. And so they were chasing him around in practice to get ready for Steph Curry. So little things like that shows that, you know, every piece on a championship run does matter.
Yeah. And if you look at a guy like Ibaka, who had a miserable, you know, playoff last season, mm-hmm. you know, it would have been very easy to put him up on the block and get something for him, knowing that he's not going to be a playoff performer. But Ibaka started off strong, had a lull during the season. But just the fact that you retained Ibaka and showed trust in him and put him in the right position to succeed, like brought him off the bench. They managed the Gasol-Ibaka situation brilliantly. There was absolutely no controversy at any point during the whole season about that. When the playoffs started, there was no controversy. Everybody knew their role. Credit to Nurse for that. And, you know, and that set us up. I mean, Ibaka, to me, is a massive unsung hero of this championship. Some of those offensive rebounds and putbacks that he got in the finals, like, we lose this without it. And that's so cool about this run, is that I could pick, you know, any of the guys who played or any of the guys on the bench and say, if we don't have that guy, we lose this finals. And how often can you say that? You just pick a random dude of the 8-man rotation of the 10-man. Well, just pick the top 10 people and say, if we didn't have that guy, we lose the finals. You don't get to say that often. And the fact that this was such a team title, it makes this just so good, man. Like, just, and I'm glad Kawhi had like a so-so game in game 6, because it kind of emphasized that this wasn't just about Kawhi. Yeah, without Kawhi, we don't win. But without Fred VanVleet, threes, without Ibaka's putback, like, without Danny Green, you had a miserable game 6, but he did get two important steals on Curry where he poked the ball from behind. We don't win this game. So when you put the, what's that saying? Some of the parts are greater than the whole. Perfect sense. Yeah.
The whole is bigger than the sum of the parts, right?
Yes. Yeah. 100% in this case. Yeah. And to Zerar's point, I mean, even like Norm, I can't believe everyone talked about all season was like, man, Norm's not really producing. Norm's not really fitting in here and there. And that's been like 2 years in a row people have been talking about that. Right. Well, this year he was a little bit better, but he didn't get as many minutes and he wasn't steadying the rotation. And then for him to just come alive against the Bucks the way he did,
yep. So
that's what the Raptors really needed, was the Raptors bench to outplay the Bucks bench. Because the Raptors starters are going to hold it down against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for the bench to come alive like that, for Fred to come alive, I mean, it's just so satisfying. And going back to Zerar, listen, both Vivek and I have to, we owe you a big, big thank you for, because honestly, like,
yeah, man.
Just putting it on. I mean, like, for people who don't know, like, when did Raptors Public get started? And like, to see it grow to this point, like, just how satisfied are you just from that aspect of it?
Buddy, I'm telling you, dopamine levels in my brain have been released that haven't been released before, so I'm still feeling the effects of it. But I think the first time we started blogging, Sam and I think it was in 2002, I want to say. And then we had a bunch of guys, Sam, myself, this guy named Josh Budd, who started Dynasty. And Real GM was obviously around as well at the time. And it was during those like early 3 to 4 years, starting in 2002-2003, that we kind of wrote a lot of articles. You know, we looked at the covers the Raptors used to get in media at the time, and there was literally none. I mean, there was basically zero. Like, Doug Smith used to come out with a post-game thing after the game, not even every day. And then we're like, man, there's so much shit to talk about. The team kind of sucked. It was a post-Vince Carter era, so it wasn't great times. So there was the interest in the Raptors was low, and I was like, you know, even though interest is low and the team's not that great, there's still a lot of stuff to talk about. And we kind of started at that time. And then in 2007, I want to say, I think we all said, you know, we're writing the same goddamn recap 4 times. Why don't we just create something, you know, something together? And Raptors Public came around. Raptors HQ was around at the time as well. So I give them credit to call. But I think 2007 is, I think, when Raptors Public started. And, like, we didn't look back. And I think our whole, the whole idea was to just give honest coverage of the Raptors, because a lot of times the coverage that came out was very sanitized and nobody wanted to talk about some of the hard stuff. Like, nobody wanted to, you know, talk about some of the bad decisions we made in free agency and draft. And I think when we did that, it just resonated with people. They were like, oh my God, somebody's actually talking about the way I feel. And that, I think, was the key thing that made the site so popular and attracted a lot of you know, such a big community.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the alumnus include me, Vivek, you know, Blake. Like, seriously, that's they guys, Blake, you know, that's the thing, that to have, like, you know, I'm just, again, very thankful for everything you've done.
Yeah,
I'm personally, man, Zarar, I'm super happy that you got to experience this, you know, as much as anyone else. But unfortunately, we got to let you go. We got to move on with the show. But Zarar, thanks again, man.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks,
Zarar, I got to get my hoodie, too.
Oh, yeah, me too, actually.
Dude,
yeah.
I will get that to you this week once I come down with the tie.
Give me the hoodie with the extra big neck hole.
Triple XL. All right.
All right, Zarar. Appreciate you.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. The Raptors really won this as a team. And those are the most satisfying championships. You know, not to, like, judge championships or whatever, but...
Each player can look back on their moments where they helped the team, right?
And be proud of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, we go back to... the ego thing, mm-hmm. And potentially causing chemistry issues. Ibaka had an incredible season.
Yeah.
When he was starting, like, he was having 30-point games. He was having games where, you know, he was the best scorer on the team, getting rebounds, doing everything. And for him to set that aside when Gasol came over and just acknowledge that, you know, this is going to be his role coming down the stretch and give the team everything that it needed, you know. And you talk about a guy that hasn't been to the finals in, what, 7 years, 8 years? And to get it done and have that opportunity again, and you look at the role that he's played in, you know, being someone that Kawhi gets along with.
I was going to say, because the chemistry aspect is big too, right? Because
exactly.
all the guys, you know, fit together personality-wise.
Yeah.
And I think Ibaka is like the big center of that, you know what I mean? Like, everyone gravitates towards Ibaka. How could you not love Serge?
I mean,
he's impossible, you know? It's hard to deny that, man.
And there's little things I remember, too, about him being a great teammate. I remember DeLon, you know, last season when he went down with the shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. Ibaka was the first one to rush off the bench to sort of just gather him and, you know, pull him aside. There's been different times where, you know, if he sees something happening on the court and he's on the bench, he's the first to go over and say, hey, you know, I saw this and that. And even JV, when he was here, he used to talk about, you know, hey, but now that we're in this center rotation, you know, he'll be on the bench, he'll see things and he'll tell me, and then I'll be on the bench and I'll tell him too, right? Those are all chemistry things that make a difference ultimately in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it just speaks to the fact that when you have good chemistry on the team, that means you have a bunch of players that want to win. Like, that's their only focus. And, like, Ibaka's focus is on winning, you know what I mean? And you know, he's had ups and downs, and I think some of that experience that helped him, you know what I mean? Like, the more experienced you are, the easier it is for you to sort of roll with the punches and sort of, you know, pick yourself back up even when things don't go well. And it's like, Serge, I mean, there were times where I was like, yo, I don't know if Serge should be playing. I don't know if Serge should be playing. Maybe we should have Marcus Gasol play like 45 minutes a game. And it's like, thankfully, Marcus Gasol didn't play 45 minutes a game because, A, he would have had no energy left for the championship parade. And B, like, the man would have just had, you know, I just don't think it would have been the most productive. So for Serge to step up, I mean, obviously, the Kawhi bounce shot is like the biggest shot. And then the Kawhi game winner in game 4 against the Sixers was the second biggest shot. And then Kawhi dunking on, double overtime, stealing the ball was probably the third biggest shot.
On one leg.
But then out of all the non-Kawhi shots, Serge Ibaka pulling up on Ben Simmons in game 7 is the biggest non-Kawhi shot.
Yeah, no, that was insane.
That's the ultimate yes shot ever, man. Serge Ibaka pulling
that
up.
That was literally... the Ron Artest when he got the pass from Kobe.
Yes.
And Phil Jackson's like, don't shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And Artest's like, no, I'm going to shoot it.
Pau Gasol robbed of the finals MVP that game.
Yep.
Robbed. Kobe shot like 6 of 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
DeMar levels.
Shouts to DeMar.
No, but so, you know what? Honestly, though, like, no slander to any of the old Raptors. Like, I think, you know, the fact that the players took time out of this run to specifically acknowledge some of the former Raptors that sort of made this possible, like, that's a huge sign of organizational culture when you can go back and reference, because, like, if you look at the Raptors as a franchise, man, like, it's been disjointed, you know what I mean? It's been like, all right, this era didn't really work, let's burn it all down, forget Vince, we're gonna move on to this era, let's the whole Bosch era, and then it's like, Bosch left, all right, we'll burn it all down, we'll do this, and finally you know, obviously there were some hurt feelings when that the whole thing went down. It was very raw. But, I mean, like, DeMar's come out and said it. You know, he said he forgives, you know, Masai. You know, he's obviously still close with many guys on the team. Like, multiple guys throughout this playoff run. Like, I asked him, I was like, you know, what's DeMar's role in this? And they would tell me, they were like, yeah, DeMar texts me all the time with advice. And this multiple players on the team. And so, you know, for the Raptors to be at a point where the franchise is healthy enough to go reference upon all the things that's been built into the culture, like, it's very heartwarming.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we've got Sirotohi ready to come in, so there we go.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
So, yeah, we were just talking about DeMar and just the players now even being appreciative of who's been there before him, before them. And Jeremy Lin had that tweet about, you know, going around the city and seeing more DeRozan jerseys than anyone.
Yeah.
I think that's changed now with Kawhi. But still, I think it shows how appreciative people are of the work that DeMar did. And just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of built the foundation, right? Like, none of this would have happened without him. Obviously, DeMar is good enough to be traded for Kawhi Leonard, so that kind of, that helps a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think Pascal was wearing a Compton shirt during the finals. These other guys were kind of repping him. I think they were almost going out of their way to make him a part of it when they didn't really have to, and they could have made it about themselves and just forgotten about him, but I think it really speaks to how much they still appreciate him as a person, as a friend, as a former teammate. We know that he took guys like Norman Powell under his wing, and just his work ethic. It's something that the front office used to rave about quite a bit. Just he set the tone for so many of these guys in terms of like the attitude that you see now with Norm, with Pascal. Like, they were watching him for pretty much their formative NBA years. So he's huge.
Yeah, for sure. And people have to remember, like, the Raptors, when they drafted DeMar, like, that was – well, first off, DeMar's rookie season, you know, he plays, and that's Chris Bosh's last season. But right after that, Chris Bosh leaves. The roster is just, like, a wasteland.
Yep.
And DeMar, of all people, tweets out, you know, don't worry, I got us. That's the famous tweet. And, like, it took a while. It took a while, and it wasn't just DeMar. Like, I think Larry came in, really helped out. But, like, just to have a guy who, you know, as Sirin mentioned, just form a foundation, just to get people to be serious about a team. We see a lot of teams in the NBA don't have a guy that's actually serious. And that doesn't really, what that lack of leadership leads to sort of just dysfunction throughout the organization. I think DeMar was the first person to actually say, this is Toronto, this is my place, I don't care that people left, I'm going to start building up on this. And it's unfortunate that he didn't get to see it through. And I think, you know, part of that does speak to the fact that realistically he had limitations as a player that sort of, you know, limited the ultimate ceiling of the team. But, like, you don't even get to actualize your ceiling unless you have your foundation raised so high. And I think that's why. I mean, I don't know if DeMar wants a ring because, you know, he wasn't technically on the roster. But, like, I think the offer should be extended to him. And I think yeah, he has to be recognized in some way. But one of the things I actually wanted to get both of you guys to talk about here is you guys both wrote great personal essays throughout this playoff run. And Vivek, I'll start with you. You know, just talk about that essay that you wrote about sort of how the Raptors and sort of the popularity in the Raptors helped you gain sort of a sense of community throughout this sort of entire run.
Yeah, I think for me, so I actually got into the Raptors because I saw Vince Carter on some highlights in Dubai. And, right. You know, that's how I started following the team. I still remember when Toronto played Philly, and because of the time difference, I would go on the internet to check the score, and it was like late fourth in game 7, and then I had to catch my school bus, so I left. So I'm at school for like 9 hours not knowing what happened. And then I come back home and I check. And so that was tough, obviously. But then to come here, to have an opportunity to watch the team, that's how I sort of made friends, right? When I came here, there weren't really people talking about soccer. There weren't really people. No one was talking about cricket. So basketball, the Raptors, that was the one way I was able to connect with people, right? So people would just be like, hey, did you watch the game last night? And that was kind of my in.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Like I said in the piece, those people that I met 17 years ago, those are my best friends now, right? So, yeah, on a personal level, they've had a huge impact on my life. The best friends I have now are because of the Raptors. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and Sarah, like, you know, it really does go to the saying, you know, sometimes it's the real championship is the friends we made along the way. Like, I think you can speak to this too. Like, it is there's a sense of identity that comes around, you know, being a fan of the Raptors. And I think, you know, more than anything else, I, at least to me, I just remember, like, it was just, you know, in middle school or whatever, people come up to and ask you, like, do you like, you know, rap or rock? And then do you like the Raptors or the Leafs? And, like, I'm just like, yeah, I rock with the Raptors. Because, like, the Leafs is just – it felt sort of inaccessible to me. Like, I mean, realistically, I didn't come from a country that played a lot of hockey at all. Like, there's skating in China, but there's like, we're not, you know, holding sticks and hitting each other and stuff. So, like, basketball just felt much more accessible. And I feel like that ultimately helped me develop a sense of community. So did you have that same experience?
Kind of. I didn't grow up a Raptors fan, but I grew up a really big basketball fan. And I think that for the people who really loved it, it definitely gave you that sense of community. But it also, at the same time, was kind of, growing up in Edmonton, a weird, more isolated experience where obviously people were playing basketball. It's not like there were never Nets that went up until this finals run or anything like that. But, you know, it wasn't really the main sport. It still isn't really the main sport, but you know, slowly, I feel like more and more people are starting to play it, which is just really cool to see, like, going from, you know, like, I would have arguments with people about basically, like, you know, why do you watch the NBA? It's definitely rigged. Like, these guys don't play through injuries and, like, all, like, the kind of, like, classic hockey fan, please like my sport thing. But I guess, like, growing up here, I was the one that was, like, please like my sport, whereas, like, the rest of the world is, like, already on board with it. But, yeah, like, now it's, like, you know, you go, I was talking to my friends from here. Right now, it's raining, and I went to a bar yesterday, and they were playing baseball and curling, so maybe the moment has passed. But they were basically saying, like, you know, like, the city's going crazy. Like, you see basketball on all the time. You see more people kind of, like kids just kind of, like, dribbling basketballs and stuff. Like, maybe they watch, and they're like, yeah, I would love to mimic Kawhi Leonard instead of, give me a hockey player, guys. Give me a hockey player.
Connor McDavid. There we go.
Yeah, Connor McDavid. Wow, I should have. Yeah, I'm a horrible, horrible Edmontonian.
It's a Raptors podcast. It doesn't matter.
This is true.
But yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, I mean, maybe this is too pie in the sky kind of thing, but, like, you know, there's a scene that you wrote about in your piece where you sort of talked about sort of your growth as a basketball fan and sort of how strange and sort of how othering that was in terms of, you know, being that in you know, Edmonton. And, like, I just think that, like, again, for something to catch on and be popular, I just think that's only going to help, like, the culture and sport of basketball and the health of basketball in Canada going forward. Because, like, you know, I mean, the most common tweet that I saw during this entire playoff run was Canada's a basketball country. And I still don't really fully agree with that, I'm not going to lie. But, like, the fact that basketball is now an option for a lot of people and a lot of people are going to want to be attracted to playing this sport, like, I just think down the line, we're going to hear about, like, 10 years from now, there's going to be an interview with somebody on the Canadian national team and they're talking about how, yeah, you know, I watched, you know, the Kawhi shot happen with my parents. And from that point onwards, I begged my parents to play basketball. And I think that's only going to help the culture here in Canada and actually make it a basketball country.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I think when Canadians look at hockey, part of why they aspire to play it is because there's an established belief that they can be the best at it. Mm-hmm. So now when you watch Kawhi, there are kids that will watch Kawhi and saying, I want to be Kawhi for the Raptors. I want to bring this special moment for the team. And so I think that's something that will resonate with kids growing up everywhere to do something special for the Raptors in basketball.
Yeah, for sure. And then finally, to sort of get away from this whole conversation about sort of, you know, basketball and Canada, things like that. So I think part of why I really appreciate your insight throughout this entire playoff run is because I think, you know, you understand the culture here in Toronto and you understand the culture here in Canada, but you also are a lot more impartial than a lot of people that write about it here. And so I'll just say this, if Kawhi re-signs here in Toronto, like, I feel like, I don't know, they're kind of like heavy favorites, in my opinion, to, you know, at least go back to the NBA Finals and probably win the title again. So, am I wrong in that? Am I too biased? I need you to be
I don't think that's biased. I think that makes perfect sense. They just won a championship, right? And there are, maybe some guys will regress, but Siakam's going to get better. I think Kawhi will probably have a better regular season than he had last year. You know, Norm, they'll have OG, hopefully. Fred will kind of slightly get better. All these younger role players are going to improve in, like, the slight ways that they tend to improve, because I think they're still going to be pretty hungry. And you've also got guys going into contract years next year. That can always go like one of two directions, of course. Like, we've seen it fizzle out the other way where, you know, they are maybe people are arguing over shots. This team doesn't really seem to have that makeup. I just don't ever think that, you know, Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry are going to be the type of players who are saying, hey, you know, I feel like you're hogging the ball. I think maybe they might be like, why are you making me shoot so much? So I don't really anticipate that being a problem. I think also, like, this team just found itself.
Yeah.
Every single game, they do something different. They do something better. They kind of find a new layer. Kawhi improves a little bit more as a passer, and he figures out where guys are supposed to go. So if you give him a full regular season, I think it could almost be like a worse version of the 73-9 Warriors, where they won the championship and then they like really knew each other the next year. So they were kind of able to build these little intricacies that made them almost unguardable up until pretty much game 7 of the NBA Finals. Hopefully the Raptors, you know, actually win at the end if they go to the finals. But we also have to see what free agency shakes out to be like. That's like true. It's hard to really compare them to anybody when all these moving pieces are in the air and we don't know if, like, maybe I think I would say the Sixers getting everybody back, that could be the biggest roadblock, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean this whole thing is uncharted territory.
Yep.
But like the idea of this being the start of something is, I think that's what's next, really, right? Like, obviously Kawhi has to stay, but then after Kawhi stays, then yeah, we are now entering another era where, you know, you don't have to worry about everything else. You could just really, again, focus on the title and chasing the title. So, Sirit, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing your perspective on this whole thing. And I would say congratulations, Raptors won the title, but technically you're not a Raptors fan. So, enjoy Edmonton.
Thank you. I'm glad I could dignify your homerism.
Thank you.
See ya.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Vivek, before we let you go as well,
yep,
bring in Alex and his shorts.
Yeah.
We got to keep that seat with just shorts. People want shorts. I hope Josh is wearing shorts later. This thought of the Raptors being the start of something.
Yeah.
It's almost unfathomable. You know what I mean? We're in completely uncharted territory from here on.
Yeah. And I think, again, with the Raptors being contenders next year, if Kawhi re-signs, that will be a completely new level, right? For, I think, the city, the country. Because I think the following will be there a lot earlier. You know, I think we saw sort of the bandwagon develop as the season went along, as the playoffs went along, as Kawhi hit those, you know, memorable shots and created those moments. But now I think if you bring the band back, then everyone's going to want to be along for the ride right from the very beginning. Yeah. And again, you talk about uncharted territory, basketball going to another level in this country. I think that's where it all starts with, right? And, you know, Kawhi gets out those shoes. Everyone gets their shoes July 1, and hopefully he's back on Canada Day.
Yeah, there you go. That will be the second championship. Yeah. Anyway, Vivek, thanks for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're going to replace you with Alex. Bro, the Raptors are champions, man. Let's do this. Raptors are really champions. All right, so while Vivek changes his earpiece and hands it off to Alex here, I just want to point out the fact that, look, earlier I sort of made a rushed point about how there's not going to be another team that really emerges right now as a huge threat to the Raptors. I think that's how sort of the rest of free agency is going to approach. Like, people are going to see it as the Warriors are no longer this sort of insurmountable hurdle, and they're going to be the league is open for once. But I think that's sort of discounting the fact that the Raptors are, if Kawhi decides to stay, they have an avenue, a very realistic avenue, bring everyone back. And so if that happens, like, who is the main contender for the Raptors, right? I mean, again, as Sirit mentioned, you got to see how free agency checks out. But, like, I mean, you know, look at the East. The Sixers, okay, if they bring everyone back, it'll be a ridiculous luxury bill. But, okay, they could be a real threat. And maybe Milwaukee comes in and they're a threat, although the Raptors just swept Milwaukee. So I'm not really seeing how much of a threat Milwaukee will necessarily be next season. But okay, fine, those two are there. But past that, who knows? Like, who else is really there? And if you look at, even in the West, the Warriors, they're very banged up. The Rockets, they're about to break up, basically, because Chris Paul is super unhappy with James Harden and vice versa. And then you look at the rest of that thing. I mean, Denver, Portland, Oklahoma City, are you really worried about any of those teams? And, like, it might really come down to the Lakers, who literally have, like, two players in the roster right now. So the Raptors are in a good spot. Alex.
This is the Jeremy Lin Power Hour right now, or what?
Yeah, we, unfortunately, I tried to I tried to sell that, but I don't think people want to hear that much about Jeremy. But just real quickly, I mean, you did write about Jeremy in the New York Times, so I feel like you should probably talk about that for just like 2 minutes before we bring in Ashley.
Wow, only getting 2 minutes?
That's it. Fine. But just like Jeremy.
No, I think for us, you know, I know Jeremy didn't play a lot during the playoffs. I think he played a minute in total in the NBA Finals, and it still means a lot, though. You know, my nephews, they were watching basketball for the first time during the finals and all of that stuff, and now all they want to do is find out more about the Raptors, find out more about the team. They joined the CCYAA team starting in October. They got their jerseys yesterday, sponsored by TNT.
Yep.
And you know, they're gonna find out about Jeremy.
They really got sponsored by TNT. Yeah.
I'm trying to get that jersey.
Foodie Mart, where was the bag? Foodie Mart,
CCYAA, shout me out. Let's go, roll song too. But yeah, you know, a lot of Asian kids, I think, watching.
Yeah.
Whether in Toronto or around the world, like, this will be their first time finding out about Jeremy's story. And his story goes from, you know, from college to the NBA, to insanity, and to being an NBA champion.
Yeah,
for sure. All of that matters.
Yeah.
All of that matters. Yeah. So
look for that on Jeremy Lin Watch.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin Watch coming. Yeah.
But for real, watch out for Kawhi Watch. We already put out episode one.
Yeah.
You know, episode two, I believe we're going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about everything that happened in the parade.
It's a lot of stuff happening right now.
So, I mean, just to give a quick teaser, basically the idea of Kawhi Watch is me and Alex are going to sit down and we're going to break down sort of small clues in what Kawhi is going to do in terms of free agency. So look out for that. Episode one is already out on YouTube. You can check it out on Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yep.
Joining us right now, Ashley Docking. Ashley, where are you right now?
Hey.
She's like going for a run now or something.
I'm like out in these streets. I thought I would have a little bit more time to get home and I didn't, but I was like, okay, I'm right by where the parade started. There's a We the North signage in the back. What could be more perfect?
Are the streets clean? I'm always really concerned as a polite Canadian that we maybe have left a mess.
No, it looks good. Everything's clean. There's a little bit of debris, but it might just be from kids hanging out. I don't know.
Okay.
That sounds like such a 45-year-old mom thing to say. Blame the kids.
Yeah, it was probably the kids. Ashley, first off, how was your parade experience?
It was up and down, guys. So I was at Nathan Phillips Square really early in the morning. We did the show, the starting lineup, from 5:30 until 10. And then I hung around because I wanted to see the parade get there and see everyone on stage. And as you guys know, everything took forever. And then you saw people kind of get restless and you saw people... You kind of just had an impending sense that something was kind of going to go down. And I don't mean to sound too morbid or too preachy because something did happen. But honestly, you just saw so many people in such a confined space on a hot day without a lot of resources to water, food, washrooms, things like that. And then I happened to be maybe like 20 feet away from where the shooting was, actually. But thankfully, I was with the media, so we were on a riser, so I wasn't caught in the stampede. But it was still really crazy. No one knew what was going on. No one really knew what to expect. So there was a couple moments there for sure of just major uncertainty. So really scary and honestly a damper on such a fantastic day.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, Alex and I talked about it afterwards, but like I think there was a bit of poor planning. And I would say this, like, okay, look, as much as you want to plan, like, 2+ million people downtown at once is, like, not something you could just easily plan for. But I think, obviously, the Raptors not having won a championship for a very long time. Like, honestly, I'm not even joking. Like, I don't think there's been a lot of parade experience here in Toronto. And so I think that, like, you know, when they win the championship again next year, they'll have a lot better experience about how to make this whole thing run.
Jumping the gun a little bit. You know, the next celebration is actually in July when Kawhi announces he's resigning.
Yep.
On a billboard at Young Dundas. It's going to say he's staying.
I want to give the city planners and police and dignitaries all the credit in the world, but it's not as though Toronto doesn't have marathons all the time. It's not that we don't close down the Gardiner for bike races. It's not that we don't have the Pride Parade coming out this weekend where millions of people attend as well. So I do get what you're saying, and the volume, I think, it was an issue, but I think it was more of the short notice, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm with Ashley. There should be no excuses. It should have been planned better.
Yeah.
The whole thing should have been planned better.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say, so me and Alex, well, I mean, not Alex, because Alex bailed after 20 minutes because he's old, but like, I followed like the first like 4 kilometers of the parade, like basically from where you are right now, I think at Princess Gate, and then all the way until King and University, where it got too hectic, and I'm like, I gotta go home. But like throughout that run, like that was the best part of the parade, was just like how much like access fans had to, you know, the float. That's probably why it took them so long to get there, like a 3-hour delay. But like fans were able to just come up and just like honestly throw things at Jeremy to like have him sign things. You know, Norm was getting lit spraying people with champagne. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's right. Jeremy signed this as well. So I'm going to be selling that for $2,000 now. no, I'm kidding. That thing is priceless.
Did you guys get the New Balance shoes?
No, I messed up. I was set up to get it, but the site crashed on me. So,
wow.
Yeah, same. Yeah. But I think Will, we can both agree. Alex has like a lot of plugs. Like, I feel like he's going to be wearing these shoes soon. Like, he might already have a couple pairs on the way. Like,
hey, Patrick, if you're watching this, man, you know I've been promoting New Balance all playoffs.
Who's,
you know,
Patrick?
Instagram direct. Patrick, if you're Instagram watching this, DMs are open.
Yo, Patrick, bro, send us a.
Yo, they're open. Patrick, don't listen to Will, man. You know who's the one that's promoting for you right now.
I got more Raptor
Club. Keyshawn. Shout out Keyshawn with all the photos, too.
Yeah, shout out Keyshawn, man.
Let's go.
No, but seriously though, this run, I mean, there's been a lot of great moments. Ashley, what's that one moment that for you, just sort of, I don't know, made you overcome with emotion the most?
Well, I was at Game 7 against Philly as a non-media member. I was there for Mother's Day with my mom and my brother.
Right.
And so you guys know, like, there's no cheering in the press box. That's kind of an unwritten OG rule.
Will's not aware of this.
Yo, don't.
Will,
yet,
Will.
So.
Yeah.
We're in the gondola. Anything goes.
Oh, we doing a Will slander pod now. Let's go. Yeah.
No, I heard he was cheering. I heard he was overcome with emotion. And I was going to say that I think this run kind of negated that rule to a certain extent, at least for some people. But yeah, the shot against Philly, Game 7, like the bounces, and then when you hear the Mike Breen call later, the oh, like everything about that was so iconic. And moreover than just winning that game, I think that you felt there was a little bit of magic to believe in. And I know that sounds super corny, you guys. Like, I'm fully aware of what it sounds like coming out of my mouth, but there's just no way to describe it other than that. You're just like, wow, every single shot Kawhi took after that, I expected to go in. Every single ball that he shot that hit the rim, I expected to go in. So I think that from that moment, there was a little bit of like fortune and fate that was along with this team.
Yeah, for sure. And I wrote about it right after that. I was just like, you know, this is sort of the end of Raptors pessimism. And I know it's like a big thing to say because, like, I think there's obviously multiple decades and so many examples of heartbreak and, you know, very recent examples, like literally Game 3 against the Cavs in 2018, they make that huge comeback and then LeBron like throws up, like, you know, I don't even know, I've never seen that shot taken by anyone else ever before in the history of basketball, and he hits it and to win the game. But I felt like in that moment, if I was like, look, all the bad karma that's been around the Raptors, so this idea the Raptors are cursed, that thing died. Mm-hmm. That thing died on the fourth bounce on the rim, you know.
It did.
So
it did. And I think the one thing I'm looking forward to next season, too, is just the fan base becoming maybe, like, more mature in terms of, like, we're growing. We're champions now. Like, the Raptors are champions, and I think the fan base is going to have this confidence with them that's going to be more permanent now, right?
Do you really believe that?
I do. I really do.
Really?
I really do. I really do. I really do.
I feel like people are going to get so high and so low like they always do. If Kawhi's back, Alex, I agree with you, though.
I think there's always going to be a segment of the fan base that's like that. And we're probably talking to one of the guys right now who you told me.
This is my show. This is my show.
You told me.
Wow, you're big timing us now. You're big timing us now.
You told me after the buzzer beater.
Patrick, send me those shoes.
You told me after the buzzer beater that you will never stress again.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting with you during the Bucks series and you're yelling at the ref 2 minutes in.
Yelling at the ref is a cultural touch point for a Raptors.
No, but I feel a general sense of just relief just coming over the entire fan base. And I think it's great. And I want the fan base to hold on to this. Like, whether Kawhi stays or not, I know that's a big deal, but this championship is forever. Yeah. Like, this championship is forever. This playoff run is forever. And we'll always have these memories. And I want everyone to hold on to that.
Ashley, let me throw you the most sports talk radio of sports talk radio questions, all right?
Oh, I should be well prepared then.
Is Toronto now a Raptors town or a Leafs town?
Okay, so
you can hear this disappointment in her voice. I can't react to this too.
Okay, so it's still a Leafs town. After there was some Mitch Marner drama. I don't know if you guys are following along with it.
Definitely not. We don't mess with double N. We only mess with double N. Yeah. We mess with double N.
So here's the thing, though. What this run did do is for the fans that were just sports fans who on any given night were like in their family home, hey, do I turn on the Leafs or do I turn on the Raptors? Let's see what the score is. Let's see which game's more interesting. That's who I'm going to roll with tonight. I think for those fans, this turned them red as opposed to blue, and not in the conservative way. I think that kind of flipped. Well, I don't mean to get political, but yeah, I think that's what that might have changed the casual fan into Raptors lovers. I think the people that still bleed blue, they're still hockey people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask Sarah Jenkins. What'd she think? Did she convert?
Oh, Sarah Jenkins definitely converted. And shout out Sarah Jenkins. You know, if you've seen the viral video of Kawhi's last laugh at the parade, perfectly synced to the Game 7 buzzer beater, that was Sarah Jenkins' work. She put in overtime during parade day.
Genius.
Shout out Dan Tolman. Yo, sorry, I'm going really off the cuff. You got to rein me in, man.
No, but you're literally you're holding a champagne bottle.
You're the mature guy in the room. You're the mature guy in the room.
How did this happen?
You're the adult in the room.
Which is the first problem. This is the first problem.
This is the first problem.
Will, I'm sorry. I think it's still Leafs Nation, but I think it's much closer.
Ashley's right, and I think there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to call them bandwagons. It's more new fans. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
welcome.
Sure.
Like, if there are people who are just starting to follow the Raptors, just starting to watch basketball, if they don't know a lot of the details, ins and outs about basketball, talk to them about it. Let them know about it. Let's build this and grow this fan base.
Let's build and grow on this. And obviously, like, you know, the whole I hope this playoff run can get rid of is the dichotomy of, like, you either have to be a Raptors fan or a Leafs fan. Like, I think a lot of Leafs fans felt that way, and, like, you can just support both. You know, they don't always play on the same night. In the playoffs, they'll trade off the Scotiabank Arena. So, it's a great time. It's a great time, and I think a lot of this momentum, the Raptors are going to build on it, and that's big. Ashley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. And maybe next time, invite me out to dinner when you go to the private room at Rolls on. Like, hello, hi. I meant to slander you guys for that, actually. I was like, you know what? They're making up
we deserve
for
that slander.
On this epic podcast. Yeah. This epic podcast. I was like, okay, I guess we're friends on again. But for a while, I did double tap all your Instagram photos, but I felt away. I just want everyone to know.
Yo, the mature move would have been to invite everyone in Toronto. Yeah, we should have done
that. That's fair.
We should have done that.
Next time, we'll definitely bring we'll tell Rolls, honestly, but we got to merge like two tables because we already got the big circle table and then added like six other chairs.
Yeah. No, we all saw. I'm more mad at Blake and Kayla than you, so it's fine. But I'm just letting you know.
All right, next time. Thanks, Ashley.
All right, bye, guys. See ya.
Man.
What's up? You booting me out yet, or are we still chatting?
No, we got to continue the Asian hour for just like another 2 minutes. Hold on. Let's go back to Kawhi Watch, actually, because we didn't plug that enough.
Kawhi Watch. So it's on Yahoo Sports Canada's YouTube channel.
What did we talk about episode one?
So episode one, we went through. So the format of the show, you know, we go through all the little different clues and factors and try to break it down because there's just a lot of stuff happening right now. Episode one, I think we did kind of a summary of everything that happened during the Raptors season. So we talked about what winning a championship means to Kawhi possibly staying. We talked about the New Balance campaign that's happening here, right? Because the big point is that he can't be the singular superstar if he goes to Los Angeles.
Right. There's just too many fish, big fish.
Yeah, in Toronto, you put up the billboard, you put Fun Guy on a t-shirt, like those sell out in minutes, right?
I keep seeing like the Fun Guy t-shirt. The black Fungi t-shirt is like the most popular, most common shirt in Toronto now. I see it everywhere.
And it's a great like kind of hidden handshake or acknowledgement with people in public.
Yeah, for
I was out with a friend yesterday and he was wearing the Fungi shirt. I can't tell you, like he got stopped at least 6 or 7 times. Like people just wanted to like take a selfie with him, like take videos and stuff. Like that's not happening in LA.
No, it really
isn't. It's just not happening in LA.
Yeah.
Like, and so we run through a lot of this stuff and, you know, we're going to be filming, like you said, another episode tomorrow. And we've already got so many things to talk about.
I was going to say, I DM'd you like 3 times last night.
Yeah.
Like, you'll add this to the... Add this to
and I added more things today because I'm sure you saw Uncle Dennis was at the airport.
I did.
And I think a kid went up and asked if Kawhi was staying. And I'm not sure, what was the quote? It was like, it wouldn't be a surprise or something like that, right? Is that what he said?
The basically, the tweet was Uncle Dennis with his little kid who is like, has to be no more than 10 years old, very adorable. And the tweet said, you know, Uncle Dennis, like the kid asked Uncle Dennis whether or not Kawhi's going to stay. And Uncle Dennis is like, if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise then. Which, to me, if you don't stay, that's like the most cruel, villainous thing to say. And it's almost, it would be almost so cruel that it's actually kind of funny to me.
Yeah.
Like if you left after that, that would be amazing.
Yo, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be petitioning for the Raptors to relocate to LA if that's what it takes for Kawhi to stay. I'm almost there. Yeah, that's an episode 4 spoiler for Kawhi Watch. Yeah.
We could be the third tenant of Staples Center, like the Clipper.
Someone said the Raptors of Orange County or something, which actually sounded kind
of
good.
Let's do it. The Raptors of Orange
County. The one thing you guys, if you pull up that tweet of Uncle Dennis at the airport, he's also wearing a hat with Kawhi's logo in Raptors red color. I've never seen that before. I'm just saying, man.
You got to say some of this for the show tomorrow. I know. No, but seriously, there's going to be so much to talk about. Like, we'll break down.
Everything from the parade as well. We haven't talked about the five more years. The key to the city.
He really got. You're just gonna leave. You're gonna leave the key to the city. You're gonna leave your customized Toronto Public Library gift card.
He's accepting plants library card. From the plant guy.
He got a plant. He got. He got a chance to go see Niagara Falls.
He went to Niagara Falls.
Like he literally had. Like I don't know if you saw the footage, but there was like. Probably it was like the Pied Piper. There was like 25 kids just following Kawhi throughout Niagara Falls.
I do think at some point, like for the fans and like you know, we gotta give them some like personal space. I get it though. When you see Kawhi like that, and like he had
if you're a kid, I mean, what are you gonna do?
He had Raptors security with him too, so it wasn't like you know he was looking out for himself. But you know, I think there's definitely a line between like having fun and like maybe crossing over it.
All right.
Yeah.
So you can check out all that on episode 2 of Kawhi Watch. Yep. It's going to be on Yahoo Sports Canada, the YouTube page, the same place you find Inside the Green Room.
Yeah.
Alex, I'll catch you tomorrow, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
same
it.
Same place, same time?
Always, man.
Raptors won the championship.
Yo, Raptors won the championship. Can't believe it.
All right, so we're going to let Alex go. We're about to bring in Josh, my buddy Josh, who, honestly, Josh is one of the most positive and upbeat people that I've ever met in my life. And so... the two of us being Raptors fans, I can only anticipate this being a very joyous occasion. So we're going to bring in Josh. We're going to have Harrison Sanford on the line. We're going to get some inside scoops on sort of what at least Danny's life has been like in the last couple of days. I can only imagine that, he's really lived it up and deservedly so. So we'll talk about that. But more than anything else, when you just walk through the city, like you just see Raptors fans. I mean, for me, it might have been a little different because I was in Oakland for Game 6, and then I was sort of trapped overnight in Denver because of a missed flight. A lot of things happened. But it took me a while to actually get back to Toronto. But ever since I got back to Toronto, like every time I see a Raptors fan, it honestly feels like the Raptors won the championship all over again. And it's just nice to be able to just have this sort of moment of happiness over and over and over again because the Raptors are champions. Josh, the Raptors are champions, baby. How you doing?
Never better.
Never better.
Yeah, this has been an incredible week. I started a new job on Monday.
Yep, congratulations.
The Raptors won last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
What's there to be upset about?
Oh, did you also hear the Celtics are falling apart?
I did. I did hear that. And Chris Paul, who's anger management Kyle Lowry, is losing his mind. I've never seen anything more exciting.
Yes.
Since maybe Masai traded Bargnani, because then you knew anything was possible.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Will?
I feel great. I'm so happy you reminded me of the Chris Paul thing because if you haven't had a chance to already, there is a video clip floating out there on Twitter where Shams is sort of delivering the news of what's going on in Houston. And the way Shams delivered the news, I think he said something like, you know, the Rockets have been going calling teams and calling them and said like, yo, basically, we'll give you Chris Paul for free. And teams are like, we're good.
It's like a 36, it's over 30. That's not, like, why would anybody want to take, like, I thought Utah made sense, but then I saw the Mike Conley. Did you see the Mike Conley news?
I did,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can't believe he got traded for, like, scrap parts.
I kind of hope that it means that he's able to compete for something.
Yes, I hope so, too. And maybe he has the same, you know, redemption as Marcus Hall, although I doubt that he got that in Utah. But I like Utah, actually. Utah's going to be a good team next year. They should have home court advantage in the first round. But, I mean, this Chris Paul thing, it's just so nice to see.
I think I find it more fun than the Boston Celtics thing.
Well, I was going to say, we don't really have to pick because all of the Raptors' enemies are dead.
Brooklyn's still kicking.
What's Brooklyn really going to be doing with Kyrie Irving?
Winning a lot of games in a pretty bad Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and then they're going to lose in like the second round. Like, I'm not stressing that team whatsoever.
No, I'm not stressed about them, but they're not dead.
I would have stressed if they got KD as well.
The Knicks are dead.
The Knicks are big dead.
The Knicks went from
all those Photoshop hours.
Seriously, it's just like really thinking like, oh my goodness, the Knicks are going to be something next year. What are the Knicks? They're going to be RJ Barrett, who is DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, come on. Don't say that. Don't say that.
No, DeMar DeRozan's a four-time All-Star, two-times All-NBA.
I agree. I'm not saying any slander about DeMar. We praised DeMar a lot previously, but...
Not me.
come on. All right. I really hope that RJ is going to have a long and prosperous career. I really do think his game is going to translate well to the next level.
He's ready to be a shooter.
Also, bro, RJ was in San Francisco on First Take when they had the show, and they had him on, and they were like, who you got in the finals? And he's like, I'd go with my Raptors.
My Raptors?
He said my Raptors. So, right. You know, look out for that. 2026, whatever year RJ becomes a free agent, listen, the Raptors, we're coming for you, man. We're coming to save everybody. But joining us on the line. Okay, no, never mind. Okay, we're gonna take a couple more minutes here to get Harrison on the line. I think he's in New York right now.
But... Yeah, he's been hanging out with Danny and Larry OB.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
I see him now. What's good, Harrison? No? Where is Harrison? He looks like he's in like a...
He's like in the back of an Uber.
Yeah.
That's kind of lit.
This is riveting radio that we're doing here. All right, we gotta keep treading water for just a second here, but
no, it's great.
Who was your MVP of the Raptors parade?
Of the Raptors parade, it's gonna be Marc Gasol, and I'm trying to embody Marc Gasol because right now in this show, it feels like we're turning the corner up university, and we need to keep the energy going. And I've prepared that energy.
Yes,
Marc Gasol was incredible.
And you know what?
Because everybody thought that's the weak bus.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was like look, there's Jeremy Lin and I think Pascal might have been on that bus.
Yeah.
You know, but like it was like it just I think Pascal was a little bit he might have overdid it, you know. Like,
yeah,
I think
he looked like kinda tired.
But Marc Gasol, man.
Marc Gasol.
I think Marc Gasol's probably got like he's probably still hungover right now.
I hope so.
He's probably taking his kids out sailing and he's probably just like, you know, getting seasick along with being hungover. I mean, I just hope Marc Gasol has a great summer because
he deserves it. This Raptors team, you have to cheer for every guy. Every guy is a name brand in the NBA,
yep.
And one that you were cheering for. I guess if you're sort of a Kawhi hater in San Antonio, it makes some sense. Like it wasn't a clean breakup, but everybody else, you know, Fred VanVleet, sort of. Wichita State, undrafted, bet on yourself, bet on your life.
Bet on your life.
And he did it. So it's been fun to see the...
His life really looked like it was in jeopardy. Like, his health was just overall declining, you know?
Yeah. No, he... Shout out Fred. If they had to go to Game 7, I don't know if, you know...
Fred would have made it.
He was, like,
He got hit many times. I couldn't believe he didn't have a concussion after Sean Livingston elbowed him in the face.
No, because Masai didn't touch him. If Masai had...
Oh, yeah,
if
that's
you
right.
switch it out...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Masai usually mushed a cop.
I'm really proud of Masai. That's my president. We're gonna bring in Harrison right now from New York. Harrison, first off, actually, before we talk about any Raptor stuff, what's the mood like in New York these days? Because it feels like they didn't get KD, they're not gonna get Kyrie, they're not gonna get Zion. I mean, what's going on in New York right now? What are the streets saying about the Knicks?
Well, there's no basketball buzz in the city, man. It's over.
That's unfortunate.
I just walked by Madison Square Garden not too long ago. There's just people going to work. Okay.
It's a busy part of the city, you know.
You know, that's it. There's no basketball buzz. I used to see a lot of Knicks jerseys. I don't see any. So. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
I just hope the falafel carts and stuff, they still get business, you know, without the Knicks fans around. You know, I hope, like...
Falafel guys is undefeated. It's all right.
You know, listen, the one thing New York has over every other, you know, city in North America is the street carts.
Like, all of the food in New York is incredible. Everywhere you go.
That's true.
Harrison, what have you been up to since Thursday night?
Seriously. Tell us, man.
Oh, man. It's been crazy. This what night you want to know about?
The championship Thursday night, right? Thursday. Then you, are you in Vegas the whole weekend?
No, I was in Toronto. So I
oh yeah, that's right. Party. That's right.
Yeah, I hosted a watch party. I think you guys might be able to see me here in a bit, too. I'm actually getting settled in. But it's been a long day. Hosted a watch party on Thursday night. Watched the streets look crazy. And then after that, Friday was more celebrations. One of Danny's favorite DJ friends came into town.
Dope.
And then Saturday, hung out with some Raptors fans. Sunday was the Sunday Danny came out for a little bit. The players went out for a little bit. Monday was the parade, which was nuts. I had to do like a TV hit like in the morning, and then I was on the float. So that was wild.
Wild.
Then to try to sleep, the players went out again Monday night, as they should.
Yep.
And then came to New York City with Danny Tuesday morning to do like a live to do an event with Jalen Rose and Puma in Brooklyn, right across from Barclays.
Champagne and Campaign.
Yeah, and he brought Larry with him.
Larry OB.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Larry's with him.
I was gonna say.
I took a picture with Larry yesterday.
Is Larry gonna be in the studio that we're sitting in right now?
That I believe is very possible.
Okay. Oh. All right,
I got a fan out. I got a photo with the Larry as well. So.
Yes. I think there's a very strong possibility that Larry's coming to the studio because Larry's coming back to. He's coming back to Toronto with us tonight.
That's gonna be the most beautiful prop set ever. You know what I mean? Just can't like believe it. Right there in the middle, the championship, Harrison, Danny, whoever else is coming on the inside the green room. It's gonna be an amazing episode.
Kiss Larry the whole time.
That's fine. That's great audio. That's honestly great audio.
ASMR.
The ASMR of you just kissing
Larry O'Brien.
Man. I'm happy that it got rebranded as Larry OB because like Larry O'Brien is like people don't even know who he is. Like he was like a former commissioner of the NBA like way back when. And like that's what the title is named after. Like Nick it could have called something cool like Stanley Cup or something, but it's okay. Larry OB is
Larry be the great
cool enough as it is. But Harrison, I gotta ask you.
Or Larry O baby.
Yep.
Whoa. That's a good idea. Larry O baby.
Yo, Harrison, I gotta ask you. This is the most important question. What happened with Danny's hair? And did you have any involvement in what Danny did with his hair? Because people on the streets were saying it looked like he was shock top, like you know that beer with like the orange citrus in it. Like he looked like shock top.
No, I had nothing to do with Danny's hair. I was surprised, just like everybody else was.
The length is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, so apparently that's how his hair always was during the course of the season. He just kind of like pushed it and combed it in. Like he actually picked it out. So he didn't, it's not like, and what he wants to do, I guess now, he says he wants to nurture it, let it grow, let it, you know, let
He's a natural hair influencer now.
Yo, shout out.
Yeah,
he gets the Chloré discounts from now on. You know? him at Chloré with the ads.
Yeah, he just wants. I guess he just wants to let it grow for the summer. Let it do its natural thing.
I rate it.
The natural juices flow, and then we'll move from there.
What was your reaction? What did you tell him when you saw it?
I just laughed. Yeah. I just laughed, which has been pretty much my reaction for about 70% of the past week or so. Like during the parade, so many people were just smiling.
Yeah,
and I was telling people. I wasn't born a Raptors fan, and obviously I cheer for the guys because you know they've been on the pod, they've shown me love. But to see the fans smiling, like I couldn't stop smiling during the entire parade. Like my face was hurting because I just literally was smiling the whole time. And if I wasn't smiling, I was shaking my head in disbelief. There was one moment during the parade where I made eye contact with Drizzy. Shout out to Drizzy because now we're cool. We made eye contact.
Okay, flex, minor flex.
No, that is nowhere close to flex at all.
Did you see the diamond in his tooth, like, in person?
There's a diamond. I didn't.
There's, like, something in his tooth. It looks like a diamond. Because I always thought it was broccoli, but it looks like.
You always thought it was broccoli. Because
it glints, and you're like, what is that? So carry on.
No, it's all good. I mean, I'm going to end right here. But even to see in Drake, we looked at each other, and we were just shaking our head, like, in disbelief at the crowd, the energy, the vibes. It was, it's been a hell of a run. Hell of a run.
We were just talking about how Marc Gasol was the MVP at least for the last hour of the parade. You know, because he started, like, really turning up towards the end. But you were on the float and stuff. Like, who was going the hardest throughout this entire parade?
Well, I was on Norm, Danny, and Chris Boucher's float.
Right.
And Norm is an all-star. Norm is an all-star. Norm was just, he was, you know, he could tell that he had just went out the night before. You could tell that he didn't have that. Like, when they had the little get-together, like, in the arena at OVO Athletic Center, and everybody was just trying to, you know, get their energy up. You could tell his energy was low. But then as soon as you start seeing people, he's like, he's into it. Had a couple cigars, a couple drinks. Obviously, he was spraying everybody with the champagne. We ran out of champagne. He started spraying people with Budweiser or Coors Light, whatever the beer of choice was. So that was fun. Norm had a lot of energy, and he actually had his T-shirt cannon with him. So he was shooting out the Understand the Grind T-shirt as well. He was an all-star for sure. He had, for somebody who didn't look like he had any energy walking into OVO the morning of, he had a bunch of energy once he showed some love to fans.
Makes sense. Secret Jamaican, Norm Powell. I actually don't know if that's true, but it's a Jamaican-ass name.
Nah, he's not. I'm Jamaican.
You're Jamaican.
That he's Jamaican.
He's Jamaican?
Oh,
Fawad Norm! Fawad!
Wow, when you excellent. Hear Norm is a Jamaican, I say, Pulo! Pulo!
Yo, Norm can never leave. Norm can never leave Toronto.
Norm can never leave Toronto.
Never leave Toronto, man.
He can never leave.
I was gonna say, I'm just happy for everybody, you know? Like, you know, like Harrison, as you mentioned, like, as an outsider of the city, like, when you see that kind of energy reflected, you know, towards like the parade and sort of how the city actually got to celebrate itself. You know, we were like, I remember when we talked before, I think maybe the playoffs started or maybe during the first round, about sort of just like having faith in the city, sort of the city sort of leaning towards naturally being more pessimistic, a little leaning more towards being a little bit more anxious. To see the relief and sort of the just sheer unbridled joy in the city, like, did you think that this is what, you know, was going to transpire? When the Raptors actually did the whole thing,
at a certain point, I believed it. Once I knew that once KD's situation, the injury situation, kind of played itself out in terms of he wasn't going to play the first two games, I fully believed that the Raptors were going to win. But in terms of watching the Raptors fan base, I did not foresee this because I thought from the beginning of the year they had a championship level team, and throughout the season, throughout the playoffs, it felt like I kept on having to remind people to not be so pessimistic about the team. Just look at the way they're structured. Look at the IQ. Look at the talent. And I think everything will be fine. But, the history of the heartbreaks, I really played an impact on how people received the team throughout the playoffs. To take, you know, one bad quarter, which might have resulted in a loss. And you know, there's a sizable portion of people who are just, like, not necessarily off the bandwagon, but we revert back to that just, like, not even cautiously optimistic move, like, oh, here they go again. And even, you know, even when they were in game six, you know, I'm a basketball fan, so I wanted to see game seven. But you know, there's so many people like, I don't want to game seven. No, they can't take the heartbreak or can't take the pressure. But to see where it is now is a beautiful thing. Again, I've seen the fan go from, you know, being, you know, having anxiety to being cautiously optimistic to being 100% confident. In how everything goes. And I guess I've told people this, the only disappointing thing about this whole situation is that you can't talk about the Raptors championship, you can't talk about the Raptors getting their first title in franchise history without mentioning Kawhi Leonard in the first 5-10 minutes, and specifically Kawhi Leonard's free agency. So I almost wish for the fan base that he was signed for 4 years so you could just take in the glory of a championship and not worry if you can do it again. That's probably the only thing that's like disappointing a little bit about the whole championship vibe. It's just, it's an elephant in the room. Is he going to come back? And it's unavoidable. But for the most part, seeing the transformation from the fan base has been special. And I guess, hey, if Kawhi does actually come back for a sizable amount of time, then you're just talking about a fan base doing a total character transformation, which would be dope.
Yeah,
and I think that regardless of Kawhi's decision in a few weeks, I think that the confidence will eventually settle into a way that it stays. I think that a lot of people's anxiety about this team being, you know, crap is gone. Like, people believe that the Toronto Raptors are a championship franchise.
Yeah.
And if Kawhi leaves, they might not compete again for championship next year. But we know that we're, you know, to be taken seriously. We're not the Orlando Magic. We're not the Utah Jazz, who, or the Timberwolves. I think one of the biggest remaining jokes in the NBA, like, you know, NBA fan circles. It sucks, yeah, if Kawhi leaves, you'll have to figure it out. But now this team knows that, you know, the Toronto Raptors are here to stay. Their fans are for real. Their organization is serious. And, yeah, one of the things I loved about seeing the parade was all these people whom you don't always think about being Torontonians. Like,
yeah.
You saw the families come down from Markham. You saw the, you know, the construction workers from the West End and north of the city come into the city. And now that the Toronto Raptors have won, those people know that they are
together.
They're part of a fandom that is for real. And that, yeah, if Kawhi leaves, it'll be trash. Like, everything will suck.
Right.
But, yeah, like, the Detroit Pistons fans, I guess they're, like, weird racist Michigan, but the Boston Celtics, they're a terrible team, but their fans know that they are a championship organization, they're a championship franchise, so there's going to be that pride, and I think that Raptors pride is here to stay forever, and I'm excited to see that come. I'm excited to see what that looks like. You know, there are all these media guys whose jobs are to talk about the Leafs, and the Leafs, you know, a mixed bag of success over the years, and I think that same kind of base level optimism will come to Raptors fandom.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, the quickest, the crudest way to describe it is the Raptors finally lost their virginity. That's legit what happened. And that's what that's honestly the emotional relief and everything that comes with it, like the confidence that comes with it.
Yeah.
Like, it just is. That stigma is over. The Raptors did it, like you know, metaphorically did it, but like also, you know,
figuratively did it.
They did it.
They won a chip. They have that gold tag on the back. Like,
I'm gonna be so
imagine
excited.
The insecurity of your team not having the gold tag on the back of your jersey. I can't imagine.
Yeah, for sure. Harrison, bro, I'm really excited that you were a part of this entire run. Obviously, it's not over. You're going to be coming back here in the studio, and you're going to be bringing Larry O.B., so I can't wait for that. Look out for Inside the Green Room. But, Harrison, thank you so much for being along with us during this run, and thank you for coming on the show, man.
It's been a lot of fun, man. It's couldn't have imagined that it happened like this. You know, quite a run, and yeah, you're right. We're not done.
Yeah, we're not done. We're not done.
Yes, sir.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yes, sorry, Bob.
Yes.
All right, Harrison, thank you. All right, so in the meantime, we're going to bring Alex back in.
Whoa.
I was
Let's go, baby.
Have you guys actually met each other?
Oh, never, just in the...
We've been in the IGGM and stuff. He hits me up about sneakers.
Alex? I don't know if everybody knows this. He's wearing the Silver Bullet 97s right now. Alex has the shoes on Decky. He has them. He has the Union Ones. Like, to me, the best shoe of 2018, the blue toe Union One.
This is the thing.
In an IKEA box somewhere in this guy's apartment.
This is the thing. Will's not on Instagram. So Will only knows me through Twitter in real life. He doesn't know Instagram, Alex.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, my approach towards Instagram is like Kawhi's approach towards any social media, right?
Yeah, actually, can we talk about that? Why? What's your explanation of why you won't join Instagram? You would get a big following, obviously.
For sure.
And you would finally settle once and for all that we are two different people.
Also, right. Will's in one of the most beautiful relationships. Like I don't know, his personal life isn't a big part of what he does. Yeah. But Will's in a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shit gets likes.
yeah, everything.
Double tap, bro.
Yeah. Am I going to explain?
Yeah. All right. Explain yourself.
To quote Kawhi.
Stop quoting Kawhi. Be your own man.
When I was on Rosan, you saw it was on there.
Yep.
When I made the prediction of Raps in 5 and I stared into the camera, it was on there.
Yeah. So you just go viral. You go viral without having an account. Is what
listen, doing. I got to take the Kawhi approach. Kawhi has made all of us better people, I think. Like, we can all learn something from Kawhi.
All this guy's doing is comparing himself to Kawhi. Right?
my head's gone too big.
Yo, your head's already been big.
Watch out for Will Lou watching. That's gonna be the bigger one. No, I'm kidding. No, but seriously, like, you know, I honestly really do feel like I give a lot of my life to Twitter, and I give a lot of my life to podcasting. Like, bro, most of my friendship experiences aren't podcasting.
Of course.
Most of the time when I see people, I'm like, yo, come on the podcast, we'll hang out, we'll turn it into content, you know, Josh, like,
yeah, it's fine.
That's exactly,
but we go out afterwards.
Yeah, we go.
There's a real friendship in it. It's not just content.
I've known Will since I was 15.
Yeah. And I don't think you should sell yourself short. I mean, you should let people know the other night when we went into Rolson at 4 in the morning on Saturday, how many people stopped you in the restaurant?
All right, this is not about that. This is not about that.
You want slander or you want props?
Me and Will.
But for real, I do appreciate that. Like, how many people have like come up to me over this like run and just like shown support and
listen,
stuff. Like, I honestly don't. I was just a Raptors fan for a very long time. Like, I didn't have a traditional sort of like journalist sort of background. Sort of me and Alex are the same way. You know, we did other things, and you know, it was sort of just this team sort of became undeniable, and I really wanted to sort of dive in and get my perspective. And so when people are actually able to sort of reflect that sort of love that I have for the Raptors back onto me, it feels very satisfying. So I really do appreciate it.
No, like, listen, man. Like, I know I work with you and all that stuff, but like, you know, not even just this playoff run. Like, all the past years when you were doing all your stuff, whether it was at Raptors Republic or other places, it's like after every Raptors game, I'm always looking for Will Lou's 10 things.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, that's the thing that I want to read to help myself understand what happened, make myself a smarter guy watching basketball. And, you know, the podcast and all of that stuff. Like, you've been doing it for a long time. And I think the reason why you're sitting in that chair today and that people are, yo, why am I hyping this guy up right now?
Because
in the middle of hyping him up, I like reached some kind of like consciousness. But let me finish. But like, you know, there's a reason why you're doing what you're doing today.
Yeah.
Like, you put in the work, and I think the fan base really gravitates to what you do. And I think it's a very special spot to be in. And that's why it's so great to be able to see the Raptors win the championship, because everybody gets to shine.
Yeah.
Like, you got to write about the NBA Finals. You got to cover the NBA Finals the entire run. You're covering the team that won the NBA championship. And next year, you're going to be covering the defending champions.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be beautiful.
And I don't know how much everybody knows, but like, you thought about leaving the industry a little while ago. And I mean, I think
it was honestly like a real consideration. It's just, it's hard to make, like, to be honest about it. It's hard to sort of have like a long-term outlook with something like this. And it really does depend on sort of what happens. So again, Masai, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Shout out Masai. Do you mean Dan Tolman or Masai right
Shout out Bobby. Shout out Dan Tolman. No, but seriously, though, like, shout out Dan Tolsman, actually. No, but seriously, honestly, like, to actually build a team and to sort of, that is worthy of coverage, and sort of, we see every single outlet is sort of expanding the Raptors coverage. It's created a lot of opportunities, and I'm happy I didn't sort of turn down that path.
But I say that to say, the person you've been in producing media and content and participating in the media is also why you have these opportunities. It's not MVP Josh of exactly my life, right. But you've been more embracing to non-traditional media figure than anyone I know.
Yeah.
You've been candid and honest and yourself in a way that sports media doesn't always embrace.
Yeah.
And that's made people gravitate towards you. And you have a real future ahead of you in this industry. And I'm proud to be like one of your buddies to see this. Yes. And I'm proud to be one of your fans. I think that you do it better than most. And
thank you.
No, I think you should own that. Like, I think
and
it's
you
good.
Got to cover the finals. And
you got to cover
that's
the finals.
The best part, man.
You got to cover
really
the
at
finals.
Every single playoff game. With
Yo, friend. You were at every single playoff game, and you deserve everything that's coming your way, bro. You really do. I didn't know I was getting sent back in here to just be hype man. For all the slander that I give you and stuff, like, you know, it's all jokes. You know, I love you and stuff, and yo, everyone in Toronto supports your work. And
yeah, no, it's
honestly, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I really do think that more people should take the same approach of just like, you know, just kind of create the content that you would like to see.
Yeah. Create your content. And then, honestly, the advice is like, yo, just be who you are, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the easiest thing to do, sometimes the hardest thing, though, is to just be yourself. Because sometimes you might feel like who yourself is isn't like marketable enough or people are not going to attach to it. But I think people relate to stuff that you do or stuff that we do because, yo, people know us.
Yeah.
Like whether they meet us in person, whether they know us on social media and stuff. And then when they see us talk and do our content and stuff, we're the same people.
Yeah.
Like we're consistent.
Yeah,
like this is who we are, and who we are is good enough. And we got to believe in that. Yo, this is like some motivational speaker.
Yeah,
stuff.
We need
put this video in the self-help section.
I'm putting let's the last go. 15 minutes on my resume somehow.
Yo, let's go.
All right.
Clip this.
Thank you for so much for this Wulu hype up segment. I really do appreciate it. Seriously, I really do. And thank you for coming through the show. You guys are about to be replaced by the Pound the Rock crew.
So, oh, dope.
So, you know, you guys got to clear out. But, you know, seriously, Alex and Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Shout out Will Lou, man. Let's go.
Shout out Will Lou. Shout out Lou Will.
Yeah, shout out Lou Will.
Yeah. I might pop back in for a third segment. You don't know.
All right, so we're going to transition a little bit here. We're going to move on to our second last segment. We got the Pound the Rock crew, the two of my favorite Raptors fans. I'm really happy they were able to join, but... They're hugging Josh and Alex right now. This is really sweet. Yo, can you guys come in already and do the show? There we go. Joe Wolf on, buddy. Let's go.
What it do, baby? How many times has that been said today?
A couple.
I figure.
Yeah. So we got Joe Wolf on and...
What it do, baby?
There you go.
We got Joe Scasharo, man. What's good? Pound the Rock. I'm just happy for Toronto fans to have the same feeling as Detroit fans to have that championship feeling, you know? Yeah. Shout out Pound the Rock.
Dwayne Casey's not going to recognize Scotiabank Arena when he comes in next year and there's a banner hanging that's not a division banner.
Oh, man. Dwayne
Casey. I think they got to take down those division banners. What do you think?
100% got to take down those division banners. What are they doing there? They shouldn't have been there in the first place. 2015 was an embarrassing year. Not a positive year.
They didn't win a single playoff game.
The only good thing that happened in 2015 was when Bruno made his debut. And that was like 2014-15. That was in 2014 against the Bucks.
They should really just raise a 2014 banner. That was the year like they got good.
The turnaround. They should hang a Masai hired banner.
And then until New Year's that year, like until it flipped to 2015, they were incredible. They were like top of the East. Had that game against the Bucks where they were up by 50 points and like had the Bruno game.
Had the game where Lou Williams had like 30-something points and beat the Cavs.
Yeah.
That was like the first time they beat LeBron in I don't know how many years.
That entire calendar year was like... That deserves a banner.
Yeah.
2014-15 season, not so much.
But also you said the only good thing that happened in that 2014-15 season was not true because one good thing that came out of that season was it convinced Lowry to become Skinny Lowry. The ending of that season against the Wizards convinced Lowry to become Skinny Lowry and it changed everything.
I couldn't honestly believe how much he changed his entire like shape.
Yeah, in that summer.
And now, he's eating insomnia cookies and winning a championship. You know?
It comes
full circle. Really.
He like settled somewhere in the middle, right? Like he's not quite Skinny Lowry anymore, but he's also not quite like 2014 Lowry either.
That just looked like
he's not quite bowling ball Lowry anymore.
That just looked like it was painful for him to even sustain that. You know what I mean? It was just like it was temporary. I'm happy those photos are out there with him. You know, flexing with Brian Roberts and who was it? The guy with the beard. Who played on the Pacers?
Kylo Quinn.
Never lost the junk in the trunk though, which was key too.
That's important.
Yeah, but I remember actually. So like after that 2013-14 season, you remember how he announced that he was re-signing and he was wearing like the throwback purple Vince Carter jersey and he had love handles, man. Like that jersey did not fit him properly.
He knew he was about to get paid the most money he's ever been paid in his life, so he was ready for it. Guys, I'm just so happy we're doing this, man. I'm really happy we're doing this. The three of us, we've been in sports media for a very long time. I think, Cash, you've been at it
the longest, man.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, and for the people that have had the most skin in the game, like, I'm just so happy that they were able to deliver this moment because, like, you know, at some point, it's not just about the Raptors. It's also about the people that sort of are associated with the Raptors. And in terms of media, like, I really do associate you two a lot with the Raptors. And so... Congratulations, man. Congratulations, Raptors blog.
Yeah, they should give us rings, man. You know, but honestly, Raptors, like, I remember being, man, I had to have been 19, 20, maybe, doing Raptor blog. Shout out to Scott Carefoot, who gave me the keys to Raptor blog back then when it was part of the score. And it was actually, like,
an early similar version to kind of what you're doing now with the 10 yeah. thoughts after games. And it was like six thoughts, I think, at the time.
Sure.
But it was like the games I was writing about, like thinking back and remember. Like I remember writing about, do you guys remember when the Raptors, the Boshless Raptors, because he was out with a broken face, got blown out by the Bulls at home in a game at the end of the 2009-2010 season?
That, yeah, and they were chasing a playoff
run. That effectively yeah. ended their chance in a playoff spot that year. And that game at the time felt like everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, can they squeak into the playoffs and the eight seed and lose to Cleveland at the time?
You're telling me Jared Jack couldn't outplay with Bosch Derrick Rose? Out.
And, like, I remember writing about that game for a Raptor blog back then, and that felt like, oh, this is so devastating. They're not going to make the playoffs again. Yeah. And you just see...
Well, that was, I think, when you knew that Bosch was probably going to leave.
And that, too, right? And knowing Bosch was going to be gone. But just, like, thinking back to that and writing about those teams for Raptor blog, and then, like, just how far it's come, how far we've all come, how far the team has come, the franchise, the fan base.
Yeah.
Like... it's unbelievable, man, and it's still surreal.
Yeah.
Like, there are times I still try to remind myself, man, they really traded for Kawhi Leonard. They had Kawhi Leonard this year.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, they got to the finals. Man, they won a championship.
Yeah.
They had how many million people come out for a parade? Like, that all just happened.
I was going to say, and to the point of the Kawhi Leonard trade, like, what a break that was for the Raptors, because we were talking about it on the podcast. Shout out Pound the Rock one time. But, like, a couple times, actually. This is not the first time we're talking about it, but we were on the podcast and we were breaking down sort of the Kawhi Leonard trade, and we were making sort of scenarios of, like, you know, okay, so the Sixers got to throw in like Ben Simmons, and like the Lakers got to throw in like their whole poo-poo platter of picks or whatever, right? The one, whatever they ended up giving to Anthony Davis. And like when we got on to the Raptors, we're like, I don't even think the Raptors can compete. Even if we threw Pascal in there, OG in there, DeMar in there, whoever, like it wasn't going to be enough. And not only did Pascal and OG not be like have to be thrown into trade, but like, to have the Raptors be this team where there's so much organizational stability to not only bring Kawhi in, but then also get him to buy in, fit within a system, and then also have that system be champions. Like, it's just, it's unfathomable almost. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about this right now.
It's unbelievable, man. Even just the trade itself, when you go back and look at it, and I understand that it's very easy in hindsight to say, how did the Spurs not get more? Because you look at the Anthony Davis trade, for example, that's obviously very different. Anthony Davis is going somewhere where the team is pretty sure they're going to keep him for like a half decade at least.
Right.
But still, even with, you know, knowing those parameters in hindsight, it's still kind of crazy that the Spurs got rid of a guy that at his best might be the best player in basketball for what they got rid of him for DeRozan, Jake Puddle, and a first round pick.
Man, I feel bad that Yak got rebranded as Jake Puddle. Yak and skills forever, man.
Yeah, seriously, man. I don't think there's no bigger Yak and Puddle stan than me.
We can vouch for that.
Original one, man.
But I'll say this. I think it is easy to forget just how much uncertainty there was about Kawhi last summer and how nobody knew anything about his health situation, what had really gone wrong with the Spurs, like whether there was some shadowy faction pulling the strings behind the scenes. It was just like a lot of uncertainty. And I think it took a team like the Raptors who, A, just needed to shake it up and needed to roll the dice one way or another, right?
100%.
Like, we were talking about them trading DeRozan to, like, the Clippers for the 12 and 13 pick, or, like,
yeah,
trading it to the Grizzlies.
Hey, man, Shai Gilgeous was, like, the best point guard in the draft. Who knows?
Yeah. There was talk about them trading it to Memphis for, like, the 4 pick and Chandler Parsons contract. You know what I mean? Like, they were ready to do something regardless.
Mm.
So the risk factor was lower for them, I think, but also it took a team, I think, that had a certain level of trust in their culture, in the ability of the team that was already there, in their medical staff, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if any of this is possible without Alex McKechnie. Like, it's actually crazy. And you know, the structure that the Raptors put in place, I mean, that took years to build.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, like, it's like Cash said, easy to look back in hindsight and say, yeah, this was a no-brainer, and any other team should have done it. The Celtics should have made that trade when they had the chance to. The Sixers should have made that trade when they had the chance to. But I think the situation was a lot different than what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot more risk, I think, than people remember there being definitely a lot more uncertainty. And it took a special set of circumstances for the Raptors to pull the trigger on that deal.
Right. And that's what you wrote about, too. It's just like, that's part of the reason why we all got to appreciate this so much, right? Because, like, if you just think about it, it's not even just like the team had to be at a certain point and then, like, the organization had to have these people in place and all these personalities had to mesh. But, like, I mean, not to make it about us, but, like, we had to be in these jobs to be in this position to cover this, man. And, like, yeah. I'm really happy that we all got to share this. And that's part of the reason why I'm appreciating it so much.
you mentioned the Celtics not making that deal. I think we'd all like let's talk about the Celtics being losers.
That's like the third time we signed the Celtics on this podcast. I don't care.
Consider this. I was talking about like thinking about, you know, how surreal the last week, the last year has been. Consider this. The Toronto Raptors have as many championships in our lifetime as the Boston Celtics.
Oh.
All right? So I don't want to hear Celtics fans talk to me about the glory years and Larry Legend and all that and the Hick from French Lick. Uh-huh. Because in my lifetime, when from what I remember, they have as many championships as the Toronto
Raptors. All I acknowledge is the claw from Cape Town.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it for me. I don't care about Larry Bird. No, but no, honestly, like, if you just take a step back and look at the Celtics last calendar year, right? Obviously, a lot of circumstances went against them. And we just talked about how much circumstances, like, luck plays into so much of what happens in life and also especially with basketball. But, like, you go from a team that's poised to, like, a team that just goes to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with a very young team. They're about to get Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back, theoretically. They're projected, like, I think they were favorites in Vegas for highest win total, and I think we all probably said over. Maybe
I went under. I went under.
Okay, but you know that's, you know, the Celtics are not your favorite, and I get it.
Hey, I was taking a professional, objective approach to that prediction,
and you were right. And the thing is, like, the Celtics go through this miserable season. It ends in just like complete humiliation at the hands of the Bucks, and then Kyrie walks. Al Horford randomly is now walking, apparently. I still don't really know what's going on there. But he leaves, and then all of a sudden, Anthony Davis is also not coming to the Celtics. And, you know, that's what you mentioned in the last episode of Pound the Rock, was like, yo, listen, the Lakers gave up a lot, but they won because they maximized LeBron. The Pelicans won because they got a lot of assets. The only person that lost was the Celtics.
Yeah. And the thing with the Celtics, too, is like, and this is what I was saying on the podcast, I agree with not trading Tatum or any of their young guys right now for Davis because Kyrie's walking, Horford's probably walking, and Davis in 1 year with that team, they're not winning a title. It's not like the Kawhi effect. So it doesn't make sense to go all in when it really would cripple your franchise for the next few years. The problem with the Celtics is that they didn't make that all-in move last year or 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. So them, they're a loser because they went from this situation people thought was can't miss to a situation within a couple of years where turning Tatum into Anthony Davis no longer made sense. That makes you a loser, bar none, full stop.
And you just hate to see it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Honestly, as Raptors fans, like, we've all had very low moments, right? I mean, you're literally wearing a shirt that says Rosho Nesterovic on it.
Why are you saying that's a low moment?
I'm just saying, man, we went from Rosho to Marc Gasol.
Yeah. Rosho, yeah. I mean,
all Rosho was the original Marc Gasol. Those 8 points and those 3 assists that he got from the center position.
He might have been the single least athletic player in Raptors history.
Did you see Marc Gasol try to dunk? Marc Gasol try to dunk in Oakland, I think, game six.
He threw one down, I think, in game three. That was like rim rocker.
Yeah. What I love about guys like Marc Gasol, and just sort of like guys who were never particularly athletic to begin with, but especially sort of late in their careers when they really just can't get off the ground at all. Those guys who are super smart and just know how to position themselves and move their feet, but can't jump. I think it actually makes them more effective on defense. Because, like, you can't pump fake that guy.
That's true.
Like, you can't get him out of position. It's like, he's not going to jump because he can't. Like, all he's got to do is stick his arms up in the air and keep his feet on the ground.
Like, that was the best way to defend Joel Embiid because, like,
that was Tim Duncan at the end of his career too, right?
Yeah. No, for sure.
But just, like, going back to the Celtics and them sort of, like, sitting on their hands, not – that used to be Masai, right? Or that was the knock on Masai.
That's right. I remember killing Masai because he wouldn't trade for, like, Markieff Morris or something.
Yeah. Or, like, Paul Millsap. It's like, Masai, just, like, wouldn't give up Patrick Patterson and Terrence Ross to get Paul Millsap. Like, he's too prudent.
They were very close to getting Millsap, though, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah, didn't they try to get Millsap the year they ended up getting Ibaka?
Yeah, but then Horford walked.
Yeah, yeah. Millsap randomly was the guy walked, they wanted.
And then, because he left for the Celtics, and all of a sudden they decided to trade him elsewhere. But
let's just say Paul Millsap probably wouldn't have been feeding bull penis to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. It's a real sentence.
Beef penis, right? Give it the respect it deserves.
Yeah, it's Biff penis, actually.
Also, I tweeted about that yesterday, about, you know, the whole full circle of Kawhi saying he wanted to go to Niagara Falls while eating beef peanuts with Serge and then actually going to Niagara Falls. And I was kind of stunned by the amount of replies and DMs I got from people assuming that I made up the food part. Like, you know, this is readily available on YouTube and has been viewed by millions of people, right? Yeah. Like, this was not hyperbole.
I'm just happy they really ate it. Although that's still not as gross as Baloo. I think I might rather take the pizza over Baloo.
Serge wouldn't even eat the Baloo.
Yeah, we got to try to get Serge back in the score offices to finish that.
But speaking of that Lakers trade, Will, are you ready to crown Rob Pelinka the executive of the year for acquiring Anthony Davis?
Two-time reigning champion, Rob Pelinka. Look, I still stand by that, all right? I still stand by it. Magic Johnson was the executive of the year in terms of how much content he made for us.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the asterisk. But seriously, like as Raptors fans, like we could put aside all this other talk about other teams. We just focus on the Raptors. Like, I mean, there's just been a lot of like low points, and like the journey to get here is like impossible to replicate. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know for you guys, but like, who was that one guy on the Raptors that hooked you in? Maybe it's not like outside the stars. Obviously, the stars are the big attraction, but was there one guy that, you know, for you guys, maybe it was Rasha, I don't know, but like that really pulled you in? It's like, this is my team. I identify with this one guy right here.
It's not like a creative answer, but it was Vince for me. Like, okay. I was 7 when they got a team, and I was like interested, but I grew up playing hockey, and like I went to a few Raptors games at Skydome. Like I saw
that like, by the way,
it was all I knew at the time. It was super weird. Like
can you even see? Is there courtside?
Some of the seats, like the upper bowl, is like too far away to really even.
They had some of it tarped off too. Some of the stadium was like tarped off.
Yeah, it was super weird. And like I was never like down like on the ground level. People would talk about just how drafty it was down there. And
I was gonna say it actually affects the physics of the game.
Yeah,
that's probably why the Jordan Bulls lost. Because like
no. the Jordan Bulls lost. The 72-10 Bulls lost in Toronto because of White Vegas. All right, let's get that straight.
But yeah, like, and the acoustics were weird. Like everything about it was weird. But at the time, it was just like, okay, like
this is what we got.
That was just what we knew.
Yeah.
And the one game I really remember seeing there was like Magic Johnson's comeback. I want to say it was like 95-96. Which would have been the inaugural Raptors season, like after he'd been away from the game for like 3-4 years, and he like came back for half a season. So I saw a game where he played, and like I like Damon Stoudemire. I had a jersey. He was Mighty Mouse. I was short, still am. Like I identified with him, but but until Vince, it was never like full fledged fandom. You know what I'm saying? And it was just impossible not to get hooked at that point. I think like he really was that special. And there was a time like before the Raptors got good again when I would just watch like Vince Carter Raptors dunk highlight reels and literally cry.
240p on YouTube, like the video was like 4x3. It's just bad footage, but you know, it was there. Sorry about that.
We started talking about the low times and the mood lighting just kind of
literally.
But yeah, no, I mean you gotta go Vince. I remember, you know, I was 6 when the Raptors started up, and you know, I was always a sports obsessed kid. I watched all sports. But the reason Vince drew me to the Raptors so much was because of the cultural impact of it outside of Toronto and outside of Canada. And as a sports obsessed kid who did watch a lot of, you know, American sports talk TV at the time and watched a lot of American sports, it was cool for me to see you know, the Raptors penetrating that market and being one of the marquee teams. Like, you can go back and watch what I still think is maybe the most underrated Vince dunk of all time when he catches that alley-oop at Staples Center against the Clippers. It was like early 2000s.
Windmilled it?
Yeah, he windmilled it, but he caught it from like barely in front of the free throw line. And if you watch the crowd reaction, first of all, it looked like half Raptors fans, but it wasn't. It was just like LA came out to watch Vince. They didn't care about the Clippers because they were the Clippers, and they probably didn't care about the Raptors, but they came out to watch Vince, and that was what was so cool to me.
Yeah.
You know, as a preteen teen, seeing the penetration that the Raptors had in the American market.
Right.
But I will also say, so my dad started getting season seats, sharing season seats with a coworker early 2000s.
Yeah.
And the first game that I really, really remember leaving a mark on me was actually Game 3 of the first round against the Pistons. The Raptors were down 2-0, and that was the year they had to go on a crazy run just to get in the playoffs because Vince was
without
hurt. Without Vince. And guys like Antonio Davis and Jerome Williams, who, you know, they were good, scrappy players, but they were by no means stars, just willed that team into the playoffs. And I remember that Game 3, how good those guys were in that game and how great the crowd was. And so those guys have a special place in my heart too, because there was those Vinceless years, whether because of injury or trade. It was guys like that that kind of at least kept the games interesting and gave you something to watch. Like, man, I remember when the most exciting part of a game, you know, for me and my dad as season seat holders was like, how many boards is Reggie Evans going to grab today?
I was going to say.
Like, that is a sad thought in memory, but when the team sucks, like, those are the kinds of things you grasp onto. Like,
I was fully invested in Mike James's chase to average 20 points a game.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Second half of that season, man.
Yeah. I was going to say, for me, like, I mean, the thing is, like, there was no, like, direct point of, like, Raptors fandom for me. Like, there wasn't, like, my parents were watching, and they're like, hey, you know, you want to see this Raptors team? And, like, whatever. Like, just never happened. I don't think I even attended a Raptors game until, like, 2011, and I had been following the team for, like, quite a while after that point. But, like for me, it was just, like, I remember, like, picking up the newspaper and, like, looking at the box score, and, like you mentioned, like, Reggie, like, how many rebounds did Reggie Evans get? How many threes did Danielle Marshall hit? I didn't even think they listed threes as a separate column at that point, but, like, it was just, like, that's sort of where it all started, and, like, to get to this point where, you know, you see the team as a championship. Like, I remember, like, 2008, I went back home to China for, like, you know, a part because of the Beijing Olympics and stuff like that. But, like, I was in, like, an internet cafe trying to go on a VPN so I can, like, look at ESPN to see whether or not the Raptors had actually traded for Jermaine O'Neal or not. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And to have those experiences and then to get to this point where the Raptors are winning, it's, like, I don't know. It's just – there's nothing else to draw from. It's just – and I was talking about this earlier because this podcast has gone on for 3 hours and I'm exhausted. But, like, there was a point where I was thinking, like, yo, this is not the end of something. If Kawhi stays, this is the start of something. And to think about that, like, we're just going to have new experiences. And I think as a fan, like, to have new experiences, part of it, like, you know, that's part of the best part about it is to actually get to experience new things. And then we get all to get to be in the same boat again because ultimately, you know, no one's seen a championship repeat.
I just also think, now, like, even if Kawhi does leave, I have full faith in the organization to figure out a way forward where they end up in the same place again. And maybe Siakam is the guy, like, who can just, like, the trajectory that he's been on in the 7 years that he's been playing basketball is such that, like,
he's really been playing basketball 7 years. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It's the new Jason Tatum is 16 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, you can really see how in, like, 3 years he could be that guy. You know, like, he could be a top 10 player and the guy who, like, if you put the right pieces around him.
Like Giannis.
Exactly, yeah.
I can't wait for Nick
Nurse. A perfect complimentary piece.
Can't wait for Nick Nurse to pull out the 3-2 defense where Giannis and Pascal just link arms at the edge.
Dude, I'm pretty sure, Giannis and Siakam could play defense 2-on-5 and still have a better defensive rating than, like, half the teams in the league. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, to what you were saying about just, like, kind of all the lows that we went through to get to this point, that's exactly why when people talk about the sort of tension between, like, the day oneers and the bandwagoners, it doesn't really hold any water for me because going through all that to get to this point is its own reward. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And, like, anybody else who wants to come along for the ride whenever they want to get on the bus is, like, totally fine with me.
For sure.
And whatever that means to them, it can mean to them. But I know what it means to me. And, like, I know all the garbage basketball that I had to watch before getting to watch them close out a championship in Game 6 at Oracle Arena. Like, that's its own reward. And it's exactly what you're saying, man. To get to this point is, like, it's still surreal to me, honestly.
Yeah, the people that are, like, against the new fans or the bandwagoners, Canadians, even coast to, like, to me, that's a garbage take, because if you saw the outpouring of just, like, pure joy and love in the streets the night they won, and strangers hugging each other, and you see the 59 Jurassic Parks, whatever it was, from coast to coast, in places that never used to care about the Raptors, I'm sure we've all got
Rockford, Illinois, just for Fred.
Like, and it was even packed. I'm sure we've all got family and friends that maybe were never the biggest basketball fans.
Definitely.
Definitely not the biggest Raptors fans, but in the last couple months got swept up in it. Like, if that bothers you, if you're the type of person that bothers you because you see it as, like, no, you're not invested in this, then you're kind of a clown.
Yeah.
Like,
also, you would have had to be a psycho to watch, like, the 2011-12 Raptors. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not asking anybody to do that.
Yeah.
You had nothing to do in your life, and so you watched Juan Dixon. You know what I mean?
Just, like, enjoy and appreciate how many people have come along for this ride because it made it that much better. And if Kawhi resigns, I mean, like Joe said, I have faith in the organization that if he doesn't, they can still find a path forward, but there's a big difference between finding a path forward and probably going in as the favorites to repeat next year and, you know, being good enough to win for the next X amount of years. So if he resigns, I just think this bandwagon is going to keep growing, and it really will become a national movement if it hasn't already, man.
Well, you said on Pound the Rock that you think if he does resign that the Raps are the favorites.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we get to see how the dominoes fall in free agency, but if you're just looking at it right now, with even if Clay and KD are back, they're wounded. Like, they're not coming back this year.
Yeah.
Durant's definitely not. So the Warriors, I'm sorry, I respect Steph and Draymond and Kerr, but they're not winning a title with that team.
They need a year to reload.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're tired.
So they're out of it. And it's like in the East, you know, if Philly runs it back, they scare me a little bit. I think, you know, I was saying even in the playoffs that I thought Philly was actually the biggest threat to the Raps. Like, I was worried about them.
True.
So they have a shot, but no, I think top to bottom, the Raptors, if they bring Kawhi back, are the best team on paper. They've literally got the championship DNA now. Nick Nurse has seen it all and done it all, really, from a coaching standpoint. Like, who would you take from the field against them? They're not indestructible by any sense, they're the best team in the league if Kawhi comes back. They literally just... Yeah.
I do think that, like, their biggest threat would be in the East, though.
Agreed.
Whether it was Philly or even Milwaukee. I mean, if Milwaukee brings everybody back, that's still a formidable team.
Yeah. They're going to have to pay the tax for that, though. I don't think a small market team like Milwaukee wants to pay the tax. But I don't know. Sometimes you got to play the hand you're dealt, you know? And listen, even if it is Milwaukee, the Raptors, pretty sure they swept up Milwaukee, you know? The Canadian sweep.
I think the one thing you'd worry about is just the Raps roster is, like, a little bit older. Sure, you know, some of these guys are aging. And
also, I think there is going to be a little bit of a championship hangover.
Yeah, man, Kawhi's talking about how he's just going to be drinking alcohol, eating desserts all the time, all summer.
Can't wait for him to be shaped like Kyle Lowry next year. Very confusing, but no, man, it's going to be great. Look, listen, we got to savor, we got to soak in this moment, guys. Cash, Wolfon, happy to be back on a podcast with you guys.
Dude, it's a pleasure.
We pounded the rock, and the rock is now...
I still want to know where that rock is now.
The rock is
a mountain. We saw it on a gurney, like, the first day of the season. It was getting wheeled out of the bowels of Scotiabank Arena.
Like Paul Pierce? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No. That rock is cleaner than Paul Pierce. All right. Well.
Dude. Fucking,
this is great.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, man.
So, I just want to be on screen with you.
Enjoy it. Have fun with it.
Pound the rock. Pound the rock. Let's do it.
Let's get Will on Instagram,
too. Yes, it's not.
Yeah, Will. Get on Instagram, man.
It's not happening. Y'all just gotta keep posting me at Rolson on Instagram.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rolson. Rolson, we coming, baby.
Oh, Rolson, we
coming. I'm disappointed I didn't make it to Rolson the other night. I didn't realize you guys were going there later. I would have stuck around.
Yeah, you gotta blame Alex for that. All right, you guys gotta dip. We gotta bring in Amin and Keyshawn to wrap up the last segment of the pod. But thank you so much for coming on. Listen to Pound the Rock. Seriously, listen to Pound the Rock. It's great, man. It's a great podcast. You guys had David Griffin on, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's the GM of the Pelicans. So. All right, so while we transition to the last segment, we talked literally every single angle possible with the Raptors in the last, like, 2.5 hours here. So I just wanted to bring you guys behind the scenes and sort of get Keyshawn and Amin, who have sort of been our – you know, we've had a huge team here at Yahoo Sports Canada just covering the Raptors throughout the playoffs. It's sort of gotten bigger as each series sort of went on. But the three of us here were the ones that had to do most of the stuff on the ground. And I even say had to do. Really, it was just such a huge pleasure that we even got to do all that. And I just wanted to, you know, bring people behind the scenes and talk about sort of just a lot of endurance to go into this process. So, Amit, bro, how are you feeling? I hope you got some sleep recently because, you know, after
guys,
all those missed
guys
flights.
Guys put it in overtime.
Nah, man, it's all good. Like, this was a heck of a ride. It's like 2 months and you feel like you're not really home at all. I've never really experienced that myself. Like, I've done some traveling in my day, but nothing like where it's 2 months straight where you're just like, okay, why bother unpacking this? Because I'm going to head right out. And also for our unit, like, we haven't done anything like this before.
No.
Where we're traveling this much. We haven't followed a team. Like, there was, you know, rumors that maybe we were going to do more traveling than we've done in the past. But this was, like, a different level. We didn't miss a road game. We were at every single Raptors
road
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nuts. Just, like, going back and forth. Like, when we had to go back to Philly, it was like, oh, we got to go. And, like... We had to go back
to game 6 for Oakland. I was just like, I was steaming. I was walking back and forth at Scotiabank Arena. Like, I got it. My life, man. It's going to fall apart if we
actually
go.
After our adventure in Chicago.
Yeah.
Shout out United.
We need like 20 minutes just to talk about our United encounters because it was another. They were 2 for 2.
Two for
not
two
in a good way, but they were 2 for 2.
We got delayed an extra night twice in the same week.
Same week.
Yeah. At least first time.
Shout out Albuquerque.
Shout out Albuquerque. Holy smokes. I never thought I would go to Albuquerque, but there I was staring at Albuquerque. But you know what? That gave me an opportunity to buy some Raptors championship merchandise. I bought 2 shirts.
That's what they you did
cost,
with the delay?
Yeah. They cost me $100.
Broke the bank.
Don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
No, but seriously, like you got to take – there's a lot of memorabilia. Like throughout the playoffs, I was sort of just like – making sure I kept, like, even small things that I would normally throw out, like box scores or even tickets or whatever. Like, I just...
Media passes. I kept all my media passes.
Yeah, same, right? Because I'm just like, yo, this is all part of the whole journey. Yeah. And I'm happy that we were there to both witness it, but also to document it. And, like, you know, Keyshawn, bro, I got to say, you are the breakout star of the Raptors playoff run, for sure. Like,
shout out Alex.
the young boy, you know, turning into the biggest star here. But, like, no, but seriously, like, the number, I just have to say, on behalf of a lot of Raptors fans, like, the fact that you took all those iconic photos that are now, like, the phone backgrounds for so many people. Like, I showed you throughout the playoffs. Like, my phone background was Kawhi dunking on Embiid and then Kawhi dunking on Giannis. And I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people. So I'm really happy that you were able to provide that for us. Yeah. And I'm just happy for you professionally that you were able to do this.
1 second. The best was when Alex would tweet from the Yahoo account, I hope he got the photo. And then I would reply to it, and then it would get like 1,000 likes. Like, what? And it came through.
No, what was your favorite? What was your favorite photo that you took of the playoffs?
Obviously the shot.
Yep.
That ended up in New York Times, which was awesome.
The New York Times
published
the photo.
It was the mural as well good portion of time. But my favorite moment from the playoffs was that Kawhi dunk on Giannis.
Yeah.
It was like...
Which one? There were two.
I missed the first one. I missed the first one. That was like the only shot I missed throughout the whole playoffs. But the second one in game six.
Kyle Lowry gets the ball, steals it, brings up the floor, turns around.
Drops the hammer.
Dumps it to Kawhi, and then bam, click, click, boom. Not to sound like Reggie Miller, but, you know, Kawhi, get ready for your Kodak
moment. But, like, that was the moment where, like, holy crap, they're gonna do this, and I got the photo too, which was awesome. But like, that was my favorite moment of the playoffs for sure.
It's a bit easy, but I guess mine would be the photo you took of like Kawhi at half or at center court when they'd won the championship.
Oh, yes,
man, because that just like brought it all home for me. Like, yeah, I want to see his face, but just like, it was kind of like a flex in his own way that he's like celebrating.
Look
like
at
that.
This. And like in Oracle, like
the final game
down.
There.
They shut down Oracle.
Jesus. No, he shut Fred VanVleet shut down.
He shut
Oracle,
down Oracle.
Yeah, for sure. They all did.
I mean, he shut down Oracle. He shut down the Bradley Center. Remember?
And then they blew
it. No, the Bradley Center was one of my favorite parts of the whole trip in Milwaukee. So so they built the new center, the Pfizer Forum, which is beautiful. Like, we can all agree. It was a great
really
venue.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's really nice.
Good bar across the street, although service was a little slow, whatever. But, you know, ultimately the food was good.
There was no service.
There was literally
That's
no service.
We
had to bring it from the bar to outside.
We got lied to.
And physically bring water there, too. But it's okay. We tipped regardless. But, their Pfizer Center is beautiful, but right beside it is a Bradley Center, and it literally looks like a meteor had hit Earth.
Yeah, and that
and
was just there.
People were just finally getting around to cleaning after it, and so to see the scenes of that arena getting shut down, and also the last scenes of Oracle being, you know, champagne all over the locker rooms, where I don't even know why they put tarp down, because you know you're closing the arena anyway, so you might as well just let the Raptors do whatever. But just great scenes all around, and just like, you know,
also shout out those Oracle fans. They stood up the whole game.
Yeah, they did.
It was cool. It made my job easier because I could just roam around and no one would say anything.
Right.
Because everyone's standing up. But, like, shout out those fans. Like, they were so loud.
Yeah.
But the loudest the arena got was Scotiabank when Giannis was throwing free throws.
Oh, man.
That was the loudest I've ever heard any arena ever.
Yeah. In terms of a player getting shook, I think that was the most transparent examples. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of those were in the fourth quarter and stuff.
It was really, really funny. Seeing Drake it's actually the best part of it was Drake, because I think he felt like, for whatever reason, he was the reason.
Yeah.
Like, Giannis was missing the three throw. It wasn't the fans.
He took it on himself.
It was his energy that he was providing. It was pretty good. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about this, but anyways, game six, Oracle, championship's done. Everyone's left. We just were walking by the Raptor locker room. Let's take a look and see what's going on.
It was open.
Let's just see what's going on.
It was open.
I saw flavors of Gatorade that I've never seen before.
No, but just like to your point, like just to even just be in like the wreckage and see the damage that was done in there, and just like to like visualize like what must have happened.
They won.
The type of wildness that must have went into all the champagne and everything on the floor. Like,
I wanted to see if there was anything left over, and there was 1-2-4 of Budweiser, which shout out Dan Tillman. He would have loved to have that.
Right. The championship. You can't even drink that. You just got to pour it on yourself or bathe in or something.
No, I debated taking one, but I didn't.
Yeah.
It's not proper.
Yeah.
Shout out Alex for telling us to pick up champagne tops as well.
Yeah.
Never forget. And a couple towels, too.
By the way, Alex is in the room. That's why.
That's why all the shout outs.
That's why you heard MVP in the background. Let's go. Yeah. Yo, the Raptors.
Yo, make sure you talk about all the backstage videos.
Yes.
Viral
star.
Legit.
The man behind all the viral videos.
From the man that brought you, Kawhi Leonard denying Norman Powell's fist bump. Like, just behind the scenes and stuff, like, yeah, because you got to see them in a different light, you know what I mean? And you get to capture these moments, and, like, I mean, first off, is it just instinct? Are you just in the right place at the right time? Like, how are you getting so much footage?
It is kind of instinct, and also just, like, the access at Oracle Arena was, like, one of the better ones of all the places that we went to.
I mean,
you can't really get that close to the players in any other venue.
Except for Masai.
Yeah, exactly. There was some, like, behind-the-scenes Masai stuff that didn't actually release because it was maybe a little bit too inside the scenes, but anyways.
Okay.
Oh. Moving on from that, that particular moment, though, like, I mean, with anyone that's working in sports digital media, like, you follow Kawhi. Whatever yes. Kawhi does,
it's good advice.
Film it. And so, in that moment, all the players are around. I'm like, oh, look, there's Kawhi. Point phone. And that's what I did. And luckily,
but even, Norm, like, Powell, recognizing that was a moment, like, selling that as the moment.
Yeah, immediately, you knew. I was like, this is an amazing scene of Kawhi just being so locked in.
I mean, we've been following Kawhi all season. And, like, anytime he shows any kind of personality, it goes nuts, right? Yeah. And that right there, and him denying Norm Powell, like, Norm Powell, like, you were fantastic in that Bucks series, guy.
Yo, listen, thank you. You 100% earned the contract.
Yeah, and also you got us a ton of content views for even having the audacity to try and get a dap from Kawhi before. And just so everyone knows, like, Kawhi was saying no because they were going to a second huddle.
Yeah.
And so he was saying he just wanted to get the ball on the road. Like, as soon as Kawhi's in game mode, like, he's in game mode. He's not focused on dapping or anything like that. Like, he's like, I'm in kill mode.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what he was doing.
You say that, and, like, the last play of the game, he wanted that basket to count. Like, what? You just won the championship, and he's farting, like, count
it. He wants his buckets.
Good, man. Bucket man, man.
What was your favorite city that we went to?
That's okay, so this is tough. I would say in terms of food, I probably had the best food.
Of course you're going to say food. This guy, sorry, but...
connoisseur.
This guy will not eat North American food.
No.
Okay?
No, we didn't have any
North American food. He had everything across the goddamn world.
We had...
Right?
We went on a world journey.
Yeah. You're like, Keyshawn and I, like, we're starving. It's like 8 hours without having a meal. Like, oh, let's just grab this burger from right here. He's like, no. Will's like, there's this Indonesian place down the road.
Yo, shout out
it's
that
got
Indonesian.
Some really, really good rice.
Yeah.
That was just...
that was the best food.
I was going to say... yeah, in terms of best food in the city, I think Philly actually had the best food, which I didn't know Philly has a reputation for food, but, like, they had a lot of varieties. Like, we went to have Indonesian food.
Yeah.
We went to have that Sichuan food, like the one where we just ordered a bunch of spicy stuff. And
Greek food was good.
The Greek food. Shout out that pita place.
Yeah.
Very hot in there, but.
Very hot in there.
But good food.
I was sweating. That, like, we weren't even used to, like, warm weather. And that day it was, like, 28 degrees. And back in Toronto, it was, like, what, 6 degrees?
Yeah.
We were freezing.
No, but I mean, you know, my favorite city to go to, though, probably, I mean, it probably was Oakland. Like, it was the best city to go to, right? There was the most stuff to do, and, like, I had family out there, so I had to ditch you guys to see family, like, twice, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just generally liked the vibe of the city the most. And also, the Raptors had 3 straight wins there, so I felt pretty good about it, you know? What about you guys?
Yeah, I'd say Oakland was cool. Philly was cool as well.
Yeah.
We didn't get to do a lot there just because of, like, going back and forth.
Oh,
and,
you got
to, like,
speak for yourself, because me and Ovid, we had the...
Well, I got, like, screwed over on, like, both flights.
You left, like, at 5 a.m., so...
Man, I had to leave the house at, like, 3 in the morning.
And we got home at, like, 12:30.
Yeah.
So...
And they... Yeah. Did they lose the game? No, that was the Kawhi. He hit it over Embiid.
Yeah.
That was that game.
Which I believe you photographed that too. Yeah.
I photographed that too. And I didn't sleep that night either.
Moneymaker, like, this guy.
How can you sleep when Kawhi Leonard's a Raptor?
No, but seriously, how can
you? Well, hasn't slept all year, man.
Yeah. No, but I mean, no, Philly was actually surprisingly good. Shout out Philly. Because we had that day where we had, you know, just the day to spend in Philly because our flight was late. And so we got to go to the market. I forget what the name of the market. Like,
I can't remember, but they had a lot of
Union Market or something like that.
They had a lot of different markets there. And shout out the service that let us drop off our bags for about 6 hours or so.
Yeah, shout out that old Chinese woman that allowed us to store the bags.
Very kind of her.
Very, very kind of her. But, I mean, because we had a lot of stuff with us, too. But we got to go to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'm not much of an art guy, but that was pretty spectacular. I haven't gone to a lot of museums myself. But seeing all the, I guess, diversity and the generations of art and seeing the similarities and how, like, different generations are taken from each other, that was pretty cool. However, of that day, my favorite part was going to the Fresh Prince Court.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Going there was pretty damn cool. And like, I had my screenshot of like Will Smith and the captions are on
it. Yeah, you were trying to find that
like,
exact
this
location.
This was the angle. This is where Will Smith was when he was playing with his homeboys. So that was pretty cool.
Also, not to spoil anything, but that part is not West Philly.
That's not West
Philadelphia. That's not West Philadelphia.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
But,
it's a lie.
Yeah.
That was great. The least favorite city. For us, it's got to be Orlando.
I didn't get to go to Orlando.
Orlando, yeah. Well, I mean,
you were lucky to get to go to Orlando. Orlando was not... I thought it was going to be fun. I saw there was a pool in the hotel. I never got to that pool. And, like, you know, Orlando just overall.
You were so excited, too. Like, this at this stage, like, we don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I learned about him is, like, he really wants to write by the pool.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you never got that opportunity.
I wanted my Leo Rounds moment. Never happened.
You know? He wanted to write by the pool.
Next season.
Yeah. So, yeah, Orlando... That was an interesting trip. We were in a part of the city where, I mean, put it this way, it wasn't exactly Walt Disney.
No, there's definitely Walt Disney and there's everything else in Orlando. We were in everything
exactly.
else. Yeah.
I made the mistake of taking a little leisurely walk when we first got there. I was importing some footage, so I was kind of just waiting around. I had a half hour or so, and there was a subway nearby. I walked to the subway. This is around 8 o'clock at night, and I saw some faces. I saw some really interesting faces, some scary faces. A lot of people riding around on bicycles and not in a fun way.
Florida man.
Yeah, it was kind of Florida man-ish, right? So
I mean, honestly, but there was that one Uber ride we shared to the bar where there's like a guy who was like on all fours crawling for some reason.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I mean, look, Orlando as in general wasn't greatest, but a special shout out to Milwaukee because that was my favorite night was like
playing poker.
I went out for a walk and then you guys were like, you guys want to go watch like game three, I think, of
Portland and Golden State.
Yeah, so we're like, let's go to a bar to see it. So we're like, okay, cool. So we found like a random bar. We went there. And like when we got to the bar, it was like this like little dive bar or whatever. It didn't really seem that spectacular. But then all of a sudden there were like these cash poker games going in the back, you know? And so
and we the got whole involved. Time he's like, is this illegal? And then he asks the bartender. And he's like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, they're playing for beers, not money.
No, they weren't.
Also, shout out that Uber driver we got twice.
Yeah,
how does that happen?
That's how small.
That's never happened in like my entire life.
That happened two separate times.
Yeah, in Milwaukee.
There honestly was only like seven Uber drivers in Milwaukee, so we got the same guy twice going to the airport. And he was actually the guy that told me. I was, like, pretty pessimistic because he drove us after game two. And I'm like, man, you guys are looking great. You guys probably give a chance to give Golden State a run for their money. And they're like, no, you guys are good. And you guys have that guy, Serge Ibaka. I'm really afraid of Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka.
He was literally the Serge Ibaka stand. And then when we came back, I think we left the same car with him. I think it was for on our way to game six.
On our way to game six,
On our way to game five, sorry. Game five was in Milwaukee, and that's when the Raptors won. And we were talking about it, and the mood was completely different. You know, he was like, oh, man, I can't believe we had Brooke Lopez. You know, I wish we had someone like Serge Ibaka. And from our perspective, it was just funny to see how emotions change. But
also, shout out Rochambeau.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, listen, I got the laptop sticker. You know, just.
Rochambeau.
So, on the first day we went there, we got, like, a loyalty card, right? So, you get 10 drinks, and you get a free drink, and we're like, whatever, like, we're never going to be back in Milwaukee, so, like, what are we going to do with this card? Yeah. We ended up filling up the whole thing.
Yeah.
But also, anytime we had a spare moment, because it just so happened that both of our Airbnbs, they were near Rochambeau, so, like, we weren't planning to go to Rochambeau every single
moment
that we had, but we did end up going, and we filled the card, and there was a really nice fella.
Don't remember his name.
Don't remember his name. He was not a Milwaukee Bucks fan or a basketball fan or a sports fan, but he was so genuinely excited to know that we were from Toronto and that we were there.
Yeah,
so what's happening in the series? Did your team win? He kept on forgetting it was the Toronto Raptors. He's like, you have a Kawhi guy, right? I'm like, yeah, we have the best player in the entire NBA, yes, we do.
I think that's the reason why the Raptors won. His energy.
He was very...
Honestly, so wholesome.
He was so energetic for someone who knew nothing about what was going on.
Yeah.
But he was just positive in general. To wrap up the show, I just want to get, Keyshawn, starting with you, your favorite moment from this run. When you look back on this and you realize that, you know, you were a part of the Raptors' first ever championship, what's that one lasting memory going to be for you?
It's still going to be the shot.
Still gonna be a shot.
That was like my first, I guess, viral photo of the run.
Like super viral. We're talking
super
like,
viral. Like
we're talking tens. We're talking hundreds.
Everyone saw that photo, yeah. And like it's so cool to like you get it all the time, but just to go out in public and people like will recognize you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like we just do.
No, you deserve it, man.
But we do our job and we do our job well, and to see people recognize that we do a good job, and like shout out the whole Yahoo Sports Canada team, because definitely. Everyone was loving what we did throughout the playoffs. Like we would on the streetcar the other day, like we had a random guy come up to us and he was like, shout out Yahoo Canada. Like,
yes.
Come on. So, like, for me, it's the shot. I also loved every moment in Oracle. I got some nice photos from there.
Mm-hmm. I loved Oracle Arena.
And
it's too bad it got shut down by Kawhi and Fred. And
shout out Fred.
And Kyle.
Shout out Fred.
Mark.
My playoff MVP.
Serge.
I mean, he got a finals MVP vote, right?
Yeah.
Hubie Brown, shout out.
Shout out Hubie Brown.
All shout outs all the time. My favorite moment, and it's a bit more personal because – I mean, there were a lot of great moments, but on the way back from Game 6, so I guess we're going to the airport now, and that's like when it really hit me. I was going through my phone and just kind of looking at some photos of Toronto, and that's when it really hit me that the Raptors had won the championship. Mm. It's a weird thing. Like, you know, you're at the game. I'm sitting like, you know, 15 rows up or whatever it is. I'm in the locker room as they're celebrating, but it's not hitting me that the Raptors
are. Because you're working.
The Raptors are NBA champions.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a deep down, like I'm a Raptor fan since 95. And realizing that, and I'm not sure why it happened at that time. Maybe it was like an internal exhale.
It was probably because we haven't slept for many, many days.
We were also sick.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sick towards the end. I'm like,
we were dead.
Stay away from you guys as much as possible. I'm like, no, I don't want to. Don't sit near me, please.
This is absolutely
We were dead. We
absolutely
took multiple naps during the day.
Yeah.
And I'm not a napper either, but
bad.
I was ready to pass out at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. But, I mean, people in this unit know that I'm not opposed to a flu game, so
yeah.
It's all good. Anyways, realizing that the Raptors had won the NBA championship when – after all these years and all the heartbreak and all the disappointment,
mm-hmm.
seeing them do it, feeling it, reliving it, understanding it, all that, that was my highlight.
Yeah, for sure.
And the parade was pretty cool. Like, I had an aerial kind of view at some points, and seeing those people, the amount of people, like, it was insane, man.
Yeah.
It was
insane. I'm still, like, baffled by, like, all the photos still coming out of all, like, the bird's eye view shots.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people.
3 million people, man. Like, that's nuts.
My cell phone didn't work. There was so many people.
Yeah.
Like, it's true. We couldn't post anything. We're just like, okay, so Dan says, all right, guys, so go there and get some social video. Cool. We have them on our phones, but we couldn't post them.
Yeah.
It would not go.
It was like going to Veld, but like on steroids.
Yo, don't compare the Raptors champion to going to Veld, man. God damn it. So many good vibes. I'll just say for me personally, like, just the vibes of like when the Raptors had finally clinched Game 6 and they were going to the NBA Finals after, you know, sweeping up the Milwaukee Bucks, like, just the amount of sheer joy and elation there was, you know, like I'm sorry, I'm not to expose media row, but like everybody was just, you know, crying in tears, you know, jumping up and down. Like there was just like, it was the moment where like the Raptors had finally gotten over the top. And like, I thought at that point, like, you know what, the finals might be some sort of like epilogue because like, you know, who knows what happens there because, you know, it felt all very much like the Raptors had already climbed the mountain at that point.
Like, that was the win for you, just getting...
That was the win. Yeah. And seeing Kyle Lowry run up and down, like, just, like, you know, like, the happiness and all the joy that was exuding out of him. And it was like, it felt like, you know what, no matter what happens after this, you know, I'm cool with it. And then the Raptors went on to have a...
Like, anything title. After that was, like, a bonus, right?
Yeah,
like,
and then they beat the Warriors four times, and then they won in Oracle. You know, they brought it home.
They never lost an Oracle this year.
Amazing.
What?
4-0. They shut that place down. So
I want more and more Kyle Lowry celebration shots.
Same.
The joy that's in his face and some of those photos that you took, Getty, whoever it is, it's so heartwarming.
That man deserved to hold that trophy the whole day.
And he did.
He did.
Every photo that you saw, it was always him holding it. He wouldn't let anyone have it. And
I don't think I saw anyone with it.
Marcus Gasol should hold it for a little bit, but he had his own.
I don't trust Marcus Gasol.
I think he would have lost it.
I don't trust Marcus Gasol to stand upright right now, to be honest. He's probably so
recovered. He's cool now, but I mean, like, who do you want to party with? Like, I want to party with Marcus Gasol.
Yeah, Marcus Gasol, man. Anyway, I'm happy that we all got to be a part of this. It's going to be an unforgettable performance. You guys should all get some sleep, get some rest, you know, maybe for like the rest of the week, just, you know, load manage that thing and just, you know,
run it back next year.
We got to run it back. You know, we got to talk about Lou days, but it was a great run. This is a great. I mean, look, I'm on hour three. All right, I'll just say whatever at this point. But no, but seriously, thank you guys for, you know, being a part of the run, and thank you guys for coming on the podcast. So, to wrap up, you can listen to the entirety of this podcast on Rappers Over Everything. Probably needs a little bit of editing, but I'll put it out there. It'll be 3 hours for people who are diehard fans of the Rappers who can't get enough. Go out there and listen to Rappers Over Everything, and catch Kawhi Watch as well, because you know, we'll be live on location talking about the parade and everything like that for Kawhi Watch. So look out for that. That's going to be on Yahoo Sports Canada, the YouTube page. So, you know, just consume all our work. I think this playoff run has shown sort of what we're capable of as a team, and I think we're going to continue to, you know, give that to you. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to everyone who watched this whole three-hour thing. I don't know what you are doing in life, but I appreciate that you're here with us, and the Raptors won the championship.
Hashtag he stay.
He stay. He stay. He stay.